Okay, and away we go. So this is the long-awaited Chazar Hashir for Maseches Sanhedrin. I'm going to try to cover it in 2 hours, but no guarantee. Obviously, we're just summarizing briefly some highlights of each plot. We can't cover everything. So Daf Beis in Sanhedrin speaks about different sizes of Sanhedrin. You have a Sanhedrin Gedola of 70 or 71 Dayanim, Sanhedrin Katana that heals capital cases of 23 Dayanim, and you also have Batei Din that usually are made up of 3 Dayanim, and sometimes there are different types of cases where there are Shitos that you have 5 Dayanim or you have 7 Dayanim. So the Mishnah asks, how do we know that a Sanhedrin Katana of is made up of 23 Dayanim? And learns from Veshavto Eda Vitzilo Ha'eda. Whenever the word Eda appears, it means 10. So Veshavto Eda is 10, Vitzilo Ha'eda is another 10. We learn from Nosiach Reba Bim Lara'o, said that you need a majority vote of at least 2 in order to convict somebody, so that's 22. And then we have a principle that Ein Bezdin Shokol, that a Bezdin cannot be an even number, because you always have to have an odd number so that there could be some sort of majority. So Masifim Aleim Odecha, and this is how we get to 23. On Daf Gimel, there's a machlokis between Rav and Rabbi Chanina on the one hand, who are of the opinion that min haTorah, even for loan transactions, hadas v'halvos, you require 3 dayanim. It's based on Eruv Parshios, that you have different Parshios in which the word Elohim appears. We have 3 Elohim appearances that indicate 3 dayanim. And it says in the middle of one of the Parshios, Ashir Yamar Ki Huzeh, which appears to be the shvua, the oath that's necessary for somebody who's modem mikzos in a loan. So even though the appearance of Elohim does not manifest itself with respect to loan transactions, we say it's all the parashios are combined together. So therefore, that would mean that even for loan transactions, we require 3 smuchin from the Torah. That's their opinion. And we only don't require it, kadesh lo tino delos b'pnei lovin, in order to make things easier for loan transactions to take place, that the lenders won't be discouraged, it'll be hard to find a bezdin. According to Rav Acha, no, hodos v'helbos never require 3 smuchin, and really even 1 dayan would be kosher. We just make sure to have 3 dayanim because of Yoshvei Kranos, so you'll have at least 1 person who knows what they're doing. Nafka Mina says that the Gemara is the din of Shmuel, who says that if I have 2 dayanim who sit down, they're not supposed to hear a case with only 2 dayanim. They call the Bez and Chatzuv, but the din would be a valid din. According to Rav Acha, that's true, because even 1 technically would be good enough. According to Rav and Rabbi Kanina, that would not be good. We go on to Daf Dalet. Daf Dalet talks about the notion of whether yesh eim lemikvah or yesh eim lemesoris. If you have a pasuk in the Torah that is read a certain way, like let's say it's read as if it's plural, like karnos, corners of the mizbeach, but it's written without a vav, so do we also derive something from the mesoris, from the fact that it's not written plural? So that's what the Gemara talks about, and there are 2 different views. Then the Gemara suggests that maybe when the kra, the way that the pasuk is written, is not different. The way that you read the pasuk is not different from the way in which the word is written. Like, for example, with cholov and chelev, it says lo sevashel gedi b'chalei b'mo. So it's not like you have any extra letters. So then maybe everybody agrees that we don't say yesh eim lemesoris. But then the Gemara rejects that and says no. We see even when the Torah says with respect to the mitzvah of re'iyah that it says yera'eh, that he calls the chorcha, we read yera'eh to mean yera'eh and yireh, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Dahavai, that just like yireh, that Hashem sees you with his 2 eyes, yera'eh, we should make ourselves seen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with 2 eyes, and that's why he says that a summa be'achas me'enav, somebody who is blind in 1 eye, is exempt from the mitzvah of is pater min ha're'iyah, the mitzvah of re'iyah, going to the Beis HaMikdash for the regalim. Daf Hey speaks about the notion of miktilas reshus. We don't have smucha nowadays, but in order for somebody to function like a rabbi, they have to be notar reshus. They have to receive permission. Like, for example, Rav was going down to Bavel, so the question was asked, Yorah, should he have Yorah Deah, right? Yorah, yes. Yadin, yes, you can't have Yadin. But Yatzeh B'chorah said the 3rd type of smicha was not given to him. And the Gemara asks on Hey Amud Beis, why is it that it's necessary to receive this Netilas Rishus? It was a Maisa Shahaya. There was a Talmud that was trying to teach people in a certain town that may abate him and not mitame if you have you are going to and need a dough together with what oozes out of eggs. It's not mitame, but he made it sound like may bitsayim, that the water from a swamp is not mitame, and that's a mistake. So you have to be very, very clear in order to receive the smicha of Netilas Rishus. That Vav speaks about how if you have a dayan who paskins wrongly, so then the sock counts. However, he has to pay for the mistake that he made out of his own home. And the Gemara says, this doesn't apply if it's a toa b'dvar mishnah. If it's something which is obviously wrong, then the din just goes back to the start. But if it's shikol hadas, where there are some people who hold this way and some people hold that way, but sugya b'alma, but the general sugya is in accordance with aliba t'chad minayu, is like one of those opinions, and he didn't realize this and paskin wrong, so then he would have to pay out of his own home. There's a discussion here about pshara, about compromise, trying to reach some sort of an equitable solution that's not strictly according to din. Three opinions are mentioned in the Gemara, whether it's a mitzvah, whether it's a reshus, or whether it's aser litzor, whether you're not allowed to do it altogether. The Gemara in Daf Zayin and Aleph comes to the conclusion that it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah lemeimah lehu yidinah be'isli pshara be'isli, supposed to encourage the parties to allow their dispute to be resolved according to pshara. There are two different opinions as to at what point the dayanim are not allowed to push a pshara. Is it when they know where the din is headed, which party appears to be correct? Is it only after the psak has been rendered? And we paskin that up until the psak has been rendered, then they can push for pishara. There is a discussion on Zayin and Aleph of different aphorisms that are mentioned and where we find an allusion to them in the Torah. One of the aphorisms is that the Havakam of Azul of the Azul Mibedina Shako Glima Lizmo Zema Belezel Beorcha, that there is a saying that if a person loses his case in Bezin, loses his shirt, he should sing a song and dance along. And the makkah for that is Vigam Kolam Mazel Amakamo Yavov Shalom. If someone loses a case, they should be happy that at least they've been saved from having wrongful property in their possession. The Gemara in Dav Zayin at Munbei says that when Rav Huna would have to paskin a case, he would gather together 10 rabbis and he would say, Ki heched limtayim shiva mikashura, in order that I'll be able to shave some of the sawdust off of the beam so he could spread the responsibility a little bit and not take it all upon his shoulders alone. The Gemara on Dav Ches speaks about how there is a machlokis in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about the case of Mosi Shema. A person marries a woman, she's supposed to be a virgin, and he discovers that she's not, in his opinion, and he thinks that she was Mizana between the Erisin and the Nisuan. How many Dayanim do you have for the case? Rabbi Meir says 3 Dayanim, and the Chachamim say 23 Dayanim. 23 would be if it's a capital case, that would presumably be if there were Edim. So the Gemara says that Bekoshishin Alas can be positive. They're arguing about, if we didn't start off with Edom, do we have to worry that maybe there are Edom somewhere? Rabbi Meir is worried that maybe Edom will come along. The Chachamim are not worried that Edom will come along. And then we have different explanations of other understandings of the Machlokas. But Papa says maybe we're talking about an Isha Chavera, a woman who is very knowledgeable and there was no Hasra given. And maybe according to Rabbi Meir, it's not necessary to give a Hasra to it is necessary to give Hasra to an Isha Chavera, and that's why you only have 3 Dayanim, because it'll never be Dinin Nefashis. And according to the Chachamim, it is not necessary, and therefore this would be a case of Dinin Nefashis, and you would end up having 23 Dayanim, a Sanhedrin Kitana, in order to hear the case. And Daf Tes Amud Aleph, we have another possible understanding of the Machlokas, and that is where one of the Edim is found to be a Karov or a Pasul. So in Dinei Nefashos, if one of the Edim is found to be a Karov or Pasul, even if I have more than 2 Edim, so all the Edim are going to be struck down. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's an absolute principle. According to Rabbi Meir, it's only if all of the Edim, including the one who was Pasul, was involved in the Hasrab. Let's say he wasn't involved in the warning process of this woman in the case of Motzi Ashema, so then it would not end up being a case of Dinei Nefashos. So Rabbi Meir would hold that way and would say, therefore, it's only a Bez Bez Din of Gimel, that here's the case. And the Chachamim would say, no, they would hold like the other Shita of Rabbi Yossi. They would hold like the other Shita of that would say that in Dinei Nefashos, it's automatically, we would say automatically it would be struck down. So if automatically it would be struck down, even if they didn't participate in the Hasra, so then we would only end up with a Bez Din of Gimel. I guess that would be Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim would say that if we could strike it, that we could still maintain the din as long as the person didn't participate in the Hasra. Okay, hope that was clear. Now we'll go on to Daf Yud. Daf Yud has the question about Pagin and Dibure. Let's say that somebody comes along and he says, together with one other aide, he testifies that a certain individual committed adultery upon his wife. So he's not a kosher aide with respect to his own wife. He's a novagea bedover. However, he is a kosher aide with respect to the other person, with respect to the adulterer, because we say paginan dibure, that there is this principle. What if a person testifies that his ox gored? Is he considered to be a karov with respect to his own mammon? So the Gemara concludes, no, adam karov eitzel atzmo, however, be'en adam karov eitzel mamono. Any questions so far? That's the first 10
blocks. Yeah, so this fellow, does he need to be in the room, or testifies about the adultery? I mean, what type of
Yeah, he would have to just follow the normal principles of edus, of testimony, that he would have to testify like a normal testimony.
No, I'm saying like about when he's saying about the adultery. When you're testifying with regards to it, he's saying like maybe that she had yichud with somebody else.
No, he's testifying about actual adultery. It's actual adultery. He would have to have, yes. You mean he have to have been in the room where the adultery took place? Normally, we require that the person sees the actual act of adultery. Kemaisa, ha-menafim, that he sees that they're naked and engaged in intercourse. Now, the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph speaks about how there was one time they were doing Iber Hashanah. We have a discussion that you start off with 3, and then you end up with 5, and then you finish with 7, when the year is going to be made into a leap year in terms of the number of Dayanim. So it's one time that they invited people to have a discussion whether to be Ma'abe or the Shana, and one person, there was one extra person in the room. So they said somebody was not invited here, and Shmuel HaKaton left and indicated that he was the one who was not invited. The Gemara says he wasn't really the one, but Umakmas Kisupa Huda'avad Kiha, but he did Huda'avad. He did it, Ma'akmas Kisupa, he didn't want to embarrass others, that it's always proper to take steps not to embarrass others. The Gemara has a discussion regarding when is it that we're Ma'abe the Shana. The Gemara says that sometimes we don't do it. For example, if it is simply that the lambs are very, very young for before Pesach time to be Ma'abe the Shana, because they, as long as they're within the first year, they're kosher for Korban Pesach. However, Osin Osan Sa'ad L'Shana, but you could take these types of considerations together with others. That's the idea that we sometimes have in Pesach, that something is not a standalone good enough reason, but it could be used as a sniff, as we say. The Gemara on Daf Yud Beis says that there are some considerations for which we don't make a leap year. Like, for example, if we have a fear that everybody's going to be tummy, the Nasi is very, very sick, and we're afraid that he's going to die right before Pesach, and everyone's going to have to be metame themselves. The halakha is that if the majority of the congregation is tummy, Pesach can be brought betumah, and therefore that's not a reason to be ba'abe the shana. The Gemara says that there was a case where Chizkiah, Melech Yehuda, caused a year to be a leap year, and he had to be mebakesh rachmim al atzmo. He had to ask for mercy because it was a mistake. So the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis and Beis says, had he done it because of tumah, then it would have still been a leap year, and he wouldn't have led people to sin to like eat chametz on Pesach. But he made a more serious error, which is it was the 30th day of Adar, where it was already qualified to be the first day of Nisan, and he was Ma'abir the Shana at that particular time, and that's something which you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to be Ma'abir Nisan B'Nisan when it's already the 30th day of Adar, and that was the mistake for which he had to beg for forgiveness. On Daf Yud Gimel, we have the institution of Smicha. We say Smicha Zikanim requires 3 Dayanim, and one of them at least has to be somebody who is a Samach himself. This is the story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, that there was a decree that was issued by the government that smicha was no longer permitted, and anybody who did it would be killed, and any town would be completely destroyed. So therefore, he found a place that was between between two towns where the towns wouldn't have to be destroyed, only he would end up being killed. And he gave smicha with two other individuals who are unnamed who were with him. And then the Gemara in Daf Yudal and Amud Aleph says that he was struck with many, many spears until his body was made like a sieve, but at least he accomplished that he was able to continue the institution of smicha he gave to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, and some add, one opinion says Rabbi Nehemiah as well. Rabbi Zera on Daf Yudal and Aleph was hesitant to receive smicha because he didn't want to look for a great kavod. Then he found out, in Adam Ola Lidula Elinkin Mochin Lo'al Kol HaBonosav, a person only reaches greatness if they're going to be forgiven for their sins. So then he made himself, Amseli Nafshe, he made himself available for smicha. The Gemara on Daf Tes above Amud Aleph speaks about the inyan that you need to have a Bezdin of Gimel in order to evaluate any metalkin, movable property that is going to go into Hekdesh or be redeemed from Hekdesh. You require 10 if it is a real property. The question is asked, Bishlama Lafukim Hekdesh. I understand if you're redeeming from Hekdesh, you need 3 Dayanim, but why do you need 3 Dayanim if you're bringing something into Hekdesh anyway? So the Gemara says, Mali, it's a Svara, Mali Iyule, Mali Apuke. You want to make sure that Hekdesh receives the correct value, and therefore you want to make sure that there's a proper Bezdin doing the evaluation either way. The Gemara on Dafa Tessa Zion learns, it derives that the Mishnah says a Navi Asheker has to be judged with a full Sanhedrin of like 70. So the Gemara says, how do we derive that? So it's Exeris HaKasuv, because it says Davar Davar, that we have with respect to the Navi Sheker, Acha Navi Asher Yazila Daber Davar Bishmi, and it says with respect to when a Zokin Mamre becomes a Zokin Mamre, he can. It's only when he has appeared before the Sanhedrin the Gedolim, they tell him that he's wrong and he persists in instructing people wrongly. That's it says there, Vasisa Piha Davar. Just like there, it requires 70 Dayanim, so to here, it requires 70 Dayanim. The actual punishment that's given, which with respect to Zokin Mamre, uses a lashon of hazada, and there it's only 23 dayanim that you require. So why don't I say, well, it says hazada over there, a lashon of he was Yazid. So why don't we say that? So too over here it says Achanavi Ashir Yazid. So here too as well, we should say that I only require 23 as opposed to 70. There it says Ve'isha Shir Yaseb Zadon. Right, with respect to the Zokin Mamre, that's Hazada. So Gemara says no, because when it comes to Gzeira Shava, it's only something that you learn from your Rebbe, and Dover Dover is Gamir, and Hazada Hazada, Lo Gamir, that's not something where there was a Kabbalah, that this is something that we learn in Gzeira Shava. Only a Kavachoma can you learn on your own, not Gzeira Shava. The Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin speaks about Eldad Umeidad. Eldad Umeidad were among the Shiva Mizakanim, and says, Vaisharu Shnei Anashim Machaneh, they remained in the camp. So some say they remained in the sense that there were all of these tickets, that there were six Dayan who were appointed from every single Shevet, that comes out to 72, and there were only 70 tickets, and they didn't want to take the tickets because they were afraid that they would be found to be among the two that were not worthy, even though in fact they were worthy. Others say, no, Nishtairu, that the B'mach, Mamachana Nishtairu, they remained in the camp, they kept on prophesying after everybody else was finished prophesying. What did they prophesy about? Different Shitos. Some say that they were prophesying that Moshe Mesi Yeshua Machis is Yisrael La'aretz. Moshe is going to die and Yeshua is going to bring the people into the land. And some say they were prophesying about other things, either the Slav, or they were prophesying about Iske Gog U Magog. The Gemara on Daf Yud Ches begins the parak of Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is somebody who his stature is such that there was special dinim that applied to him. But we say that he is subject to being judged, and he can be judged, and he can serve as an aid as opposed to a melech. That the Mishnah says Lodan, Lodanin also, he is not judged. The Gemara is going to say this is specifically referring to Melech Shel Yisrael. The Gemara on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis says that a Melech and a Kohen Gadol also are not allowed to be involved in the deliberations about making a leap year, because the Nogeya B'Dover, a Melech wants, he has to pay his troops over the course of the year. He only has to pay them for 1 year, even if it's a leap year, so he'll want it to be a leap year. He saves money. Kohen Gadol will not want it to be a leap year, because then if it's a leap year, it's going to be colder come Yom Kippur time, and Mishum Tzina, he has an interest in it not be so cold. Either he's going to have to walk around barefoot, or the water when he goes to the mikvah is going to be cold. Different shitos. The Gemara, yes.
So I mean, what if the king does something wrong? I mean, in what way is he held?
There are different ways of dealing with it. Different ways, but maybe to be in front of the Sanhedrin might not be effective enough. As we're going to see. Okay, we'll speak about that. That's the Gemara on Daf Yutes, actually, which we're getting to right now. So Gemara Yutes says, with respect to be Menachem a Kohen Gadol, the Mashuach She'ava, the one who took over for him when the Kohen Gadol had a temporary blemish, is not supposed to be Menachem, because there might be some tension there, because after all, this fellow had been Kohen Gadol, and then this other person who's now sitting Shiva took away his job when his blemish went away. So when there's that type of potential tension, it's not necessarily a mitzvah to be Menachem Avol. The Gemara on the bottom of Yutes says that the reason why Malka Yisrael are not judges because of Maaser Shehayah Yanai, he was one of the kings of the period of the Chashmonaim when things started to go bad. And when he was brought in, because an eved of his was accused of killing, he refused to stand up when he was told by Shimon Shetak that he's supposed to stand up. And the Chachamim, the members of the Sanhedrin, were too scared of him to enforce their authority. And as a result, they were all struck dead by Gabriel the angel. And therefore, it was felt that it's probably not a good thing to have the Malki Yisrael appear in front of the Sanhedrin. Daf Achof speaks about how David HaMelech. Normally the king does not leave his palace to go after a funeral procession, but he did in the case of Avner, because people thought that he might have been involved in the killing of Avner, so he had to make it clear that it was not through his authorization, something that Yoav did without him. It says, Vayavokal Am Lehavro, so they came to provide consolation to those who were mourning Avner. So it says that at the beginning it was really Lahachros, that they wanted to kill David because they thought that it was his fault, but then they realized that David was also mourning. Daf Chof Aleph speaks about the mitzvos in the Torah, lo yabalo nashim, that a king is not allowed to have too many wives. The Gemara derives that it means he can't have more than 18 wives. Rabbi Shimon is normally Doresh Taima Dekra, so here we're told that the reason is the lo yasur levavo, that we're worried that they're going to turn his heart away from the Torah. So here the Torah actually gives the reason. So Rabbi Shimon, who normally bases the application of the mitzvah on the reason, here he says no, 18 is an absolute number, and when the Torah gives the reason, it means that even if everyone was of the wives was as righteous as Abigail, you couldn't have more than 18, and if you had even one who was not righteous, then he couldn't marry that person. Rabbi Huda says normally we say lo daishin in time of the club, but here the Torah gives you the reason, so therefore it would come out that as long as they're not Masiris is Libo, as long as the women are not swaying his heart, he could have even more than 18. On the other hand, the Gemara in Yerkop Baum from Beis says, quotes in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak, Mnei Malo Niskalu Taimei Torah. Why is it that we normally don't have the reasons of the Torah recorded, Sherei Shtei, or we don't try to be Megal them ourselves? Because when the Torah gave the reasons, so we see that Shlomo HaMelech said to himself, oh, that's okay, I can have more than 18 wives and they're not going to be Meisir as my lave, but didn't work out that way for him. Sherei Shtei Mikros Niskalu Taimei Nitshel and Godola Olam. And Shlomo HaMelech was Nitshel in this one, and also the Pasuk of Lo Yabalo Noshim, of Lo Yabalo Susim, that he shouldn't have too many horses, maybe that will cause him to bring everybody back, and Lo Yashivas Am Mitzrayma, but Shlomo HaMelech thought that he would be able to have more, but he also ended up being Nitshel in that as well, that it didn't work out the way that it was supposed to work out.
Yeah, but could we suggest that Shlomo, he didn't do anything wrong? Is that a possible suggestion based on the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda?
That in other words, that he had the right to make that drasha, but nonetheless, you have to be accurate in your assessment, but he didn't end up being accurate in his assessment. That he would be able to maintain, you know, the straight path and not bring them back to Mitzrayim. It says Amar Shlomo ani arbev lo ashiv k'siva teitzei merkava miMitzrayim, that they did end up going to Egypt, so therefore it didn't work out. Now the Gemara on Daf Kof Beis speaks about the ksav that we have, that the ksavs change over time, so there are different shitas that we have, ksav ivri, and then went to ksav ashuri, and then we go back and forth. So the Gemara ultimately quotes Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, who says that lo nishtana kol ikar, that it never changed, because it says vavei amudim, the vavim on the amudim, where it says that that's the little hooks that were on the pillars in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, Ma'amudim lo nishtanu, Avavim lo nishtanu. So just like the pillars themselves have not changed, the Vavim, the appearance of the Vavim, right, the hooks, which is the letter Vav, have never really changed. We see Kashin HaGerishin. Kashin Gerishin says the Gemara over here, because Abishag HaShunamis was brought to warm up David HaMelech, but he would not marry her, because it would have required him to divorce one of his wives, and that's a very difficult thing to do. So David HaMelech Itilo LeYaakov, he was allowed to have Yikud with Abishag Itilo LeGarish, but they didn't allow him to divorce, because divorcing is considered to be something which is very extreme and should be avoided. The Gemara on Daf Chof Gimel, yes.
How was he able to have Yikud with her and still not marry her if she was married to other wives?
Why? He had his other wives, but he
isn't
was
that considered like
No, he was allowed to have many wives.
But I'm saying, if he's not marrying Abishag, then isn't it considered adultery to like?
It's not adultery because he didn't have relations
but
with
isn't
her.
Isn't it still like like a problematic for him to have Yichud with another woman?
It was felt that it was a special allowance that was given to David HaMelech. This was something that was a specific special dispensation that was given. But even though that dispensation was given, the idea of marrying was to marry her was this, with that dispensation was not given to him. So the Gemara on Daf Chof Gimel speaks about the idea of Zebo Lo Echav, Zeblo Lo Echad, that you can have a bezin comprised of each person should be choosing one dayan, and two dayanim choose a third dayan. Why is that a good thing? So the Gemara says, Mishmei Rabbi Zeir, Mitoch Zebo Lo Dayan Echav, Zebo Lo Dayan Echad, Shneim Borin Lein Od Echad, Yetze Adin La Mito. That's going to enable there to be an accurate din because everyone's going to be comfortable with the dayanim that they that they chose. There's a machlokus whether you could passel the other person's either you could passel their dayanim. Rabbi Meir seems to be very flexible about that. Is it posel edom shozev? Is it posel edom shozev? And the Chachamim say, no, you got to bring good proof in order to passel the dayanim. The Gemara suggests, the Gemara in Chof Gimel Amud Beis says the question, the machlokas between them is whether the Baal Din himself can join together with another aid in order to passel one set of edom. And it could be that they're arguing about Efshalabar, that the other litigant had said, I have two sets of edom. So if there's an obligation that he has to Efshalabar, the way Rashi explains that he has to show that both are legitimate, so then it would be improper for the other litigant to passel either one. If he doesn't have to be mevarer, meaning that he doesn't have to prove that both are legitimate, so even if one kas is disqualified, then the other kas, the other pair of aidim, would still be viable, and therefore it would be okay for the other litigant to join together with another aid, according to Rabbi Meir, to disqualify one of the pairs of witnesses. Baruch of Dalit speaks about what is Bavel all about? Bavel. So we have a whole discussion over here. That my Bavel, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Belulah b'Mikra, Belulah b'Mishnah, Belulah b'Talmud. The Bavel is a combination like our Talmud Bavli. It's all a mixture, right, of Psukim and of Mishnayos and of a Gemara. Another version is Makashakim Hoshibani Kemesi Olam that Rabbi Yemiya Zet Tamuda Shabavel. That it's very can be very, very confusing and very dense if you don't figure it out and how to put all the pieces together, then it can be very, very hard. But of course it can also be very fulfilling when you do put all of the pieces together. What if a person says that they're going to accept upon themselves somebody who's normally puzzled to be a dayan? So Rabbi Meir says that they can be chozer. The Chokamim say they're not allowed to be chozer. If they say Neman Olai, I'm going to accept somebody who is normally a psul, are they allowed to go back? The Chachamim say, no, you can't go back. Question is that only when a person is giving up and they're saying they're going to be mokel, they're going to give up a claim, or even the etain lach, or even if it means that it's money that's going to be extracted from them. The Gemara in Chof Daled Amud Beis says that we paskin is either they're arguing even with etain lach, even when a person says I'm going to accept a psul to extract money from me, that also is binding, and if a kinyan was made, it's binding even before the din has been completed. Then we have the Mishnah on Chof Daled Amud Beis talks about psulei edu. Some of them are only psulei midrabanan. One case is somebody who plays dice. He's a gambler, mesachek bekuvia. So he's puzzled. So Rami Bar Chama says, why? Because it's an asmachta, because there isn't a sufficient gemiras das in the people he's taking money from. Rashesha says, no, this is not considered to be asmachta, but rather we're talking about for somebody who's ain asukim bi yishuvah sha'olam. He does it. This is all that he does all day long, but otherwise it wouldn't necessarily be a pasul le'edus, depending on the circumstances of exactly what's being bet, and it could be that if it's something that's just completely a game of chance, still might require a kinyan. Very complicated sugya. Don't try this in your own home. Daf Kopei Amun Aleph speaks about what does it take in order to pasul somebody. So we require, there was a babinistus who was accused of lending beribis. We see that we needed two separate edim to come along and say, oh, I saw him lend beribis. I saw him lend beribis. Even if the second one said he loaned beribis to myself, he's not mesim es atzmo. Is that not mesim es atzmo Russia? But nonetheless, he would still be able to say that the other person, you know, loaned to me, but he doesn't passel himself in the process because of Ander Mason Masatz and Rush. But we see that we need two edim in order to disqualify somebody from edus.
So would that be a right for Pogidin Divora?
But we've already established that, right? Okay. But it's a very good point. Dr. Chabab speaks about how Reish Lakish got together with two rabbis, Rabbi Kiya Bar Zunaki, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehotzadok, who were appointed in order to look into the possibility of being Ma'abir Hashana, to make a leap year. And as they were walking along the path, they saw a Kohen who was Chorish, seemed to be plowing during the Shemitah year, and he gave some sort of an explanation, a justification. He said, well, I'm in a Gistan, it's really not my land, it's really the land of a Karka, of a Nachri, it's the Karka of a Nachri that I'm involved with. And Reish Lakish was not impressed with this answer. But the other two rabbis were Dan Kafskus. So Reish Lakish says, I don't understand how you, he went to Rabbi Yochanan and said, I don't say you could trust these people to be Ma'abi Hashanah, they're a Kesher Hashayim. They're going along with all these people who are doing averus, and it doesn't bother them at all. And Enom in a minyan, they can't. And that doesn't count in order to be ma'abir as a shana. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "I'm Rabbi Yochanan da akka." What does it mean da akka? Rashi says, "It's not nice that you're calling them mishaim. It's good to be down people look up schools. Why is that such a bad thing?" So the Gemara on Daf Achub Zion says the halacha is like abaye biyalkagam. We have two examples of biyalkagam, the six cases when we pass like abaye against rava. One is the ayin eid zomer. The Bai says he's pasul l'mafreya. Once you establish someone's an eid zomim, from the time that he actually testified falsely, even though it might be 2 months before he was found to be a false witness by other eidim coming along and saying that he was in a different location when he claimed to be watching the thing that he was testifying about, he becomes pasul l'mafreya from the time that he was made. Why? Because he's a rosh. The Gemara, the Torah says, "Atashis yatcha im mashal liyos eid chamas atashis rosha eid." Bai says from when the person was a rosh, they become pasul l'mafreya.
Yes. Until later, you won't know until
it doesn't matter if he's pasul midaraisa because he's a rasha, so he becomes even though you won't. That's correct.
During the intercession, you won't actually know.
That's right. Which is why Rubber wasn't so excited about it. But we pass him like Abaye. Very good point. But this second machlokus is similar, where Rubber says, "Well, Atashias Yatzkan Rasha Lios Ed Hamas requires that a person be Ed Hamas. They're only a rasha because they have the temptation to lie for pecuniary benefit for Hamas. But if they're a rasha, let's say they're ochan avelus the hachis, that they do averus, they eat treif, and not because of pecuniary benefit, because it's cheaper, but the teovim, but rather the hachis, because they want to rebel against God, so that doesn't make them into a pasul eid. Abai says, no, that does make them into a pasul eid, and here too, we paskin like Abaye against Rava. Now, Daf Chof Ches, the Gemara here, talks about psulim, that because they're relatives. So, yumso avos abanim, we learn from that pasuk, various relatives who are now allowed to testify for each other. However, a shlishi, Rav says, Aksha Shlishi Besheni. The first cousins, Gwafsheni Besheni, would not be allowed to testify for each other. But if you're ever wondering, a first cousin once removed, Shlishi Besheni, perfectly okay. Not only that, Avi Chosin Rabbi Kalami Dinzelzeh, Lombudamala Dodiela Ki Akla Dono. Two in-laws are allowed to testify for each other because after the wedding's over, they don't have that much to do for you with each other. It's like a lid on a pot, that the pot is one thing, the lid is another thing, and they're not really connected. The Gemara on Daf Choftes speaks about how even though we paskin in the Mishnah, the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim paskin like the Chachamim, that with respect to Eidus, if you happen to be a friend or an enemy of somebody, then they are generally assume that they can be Edim. But for Dayanim, if somebody is a friend or an enemy, so it's possible that you're going to be swayed in terms of thinking about the merits of the case, and you cannot serve as a Dayan under those circumstances. The Mishnah says that if a Dayanim pask in a case, they're not allowed to say, if there's a majority vote, they're not allowed to say, well, it was a majority vote, but I really voted the other way. So that they're not supposed to do. Okay, the Gemara says that we're supposed to teach the Edim the importance of testifying correctly. What is it that we say to them in order to reinforce that point? So Mishnah says, Aminu lehu sadi shakri auzrayu zili. We say to them that you're just cheapened. If you're taking money to testify falsely, you'll be cheapened even in the eyes of those who hired you. The Gemara on Daf Amud Beis, of Choptes Amud Beis, speaks about that there is a notion that a person is asloy shloba haspias, adam asloy shloba haspias atzmo. The mere fact that a person might happen to say, not in the realm of testimony, but they happen to say, oh, I owe somebody money, it doesn't mean that they necessarily owe the person money. It could just be that they don't want to make themselves look like they are so rich. The Gemara on Daf Lamed talks about dreams. That if somebody has a dream that says, oh, there's money of yours in a part that belonged to your father in a particular place, but by the way, it's Maisa Sheni money, so you can only even use shlime or redeem it. Let's say it's fruit, it could only redeem it and then take the money to Yerushalayim in order to buy things with it. So you're allowed to take the money, but you don't have to treat it as having the severity as Meiser Sheni, because Divrei Kolomos Lo Malin Velo Moridin cannot confer an usher status upon the money. The Gemara in Laman and Basis, Rabbi Shimon El Yochim wanted his good friend Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Kanina, somebody he thought highly of, to receive smicha, and he came, Rabbi Yochanan needed an answer to a certain question of, is the halacha like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho or not? What's that? Machlokis? There are two different machlokis in Rabbi Edus and Dine Mominus. Let's say, do the Edom have to see what they're testifying about together? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho says no. Tanakama says yes. What about when they testify? Are they do they have to testify at the same time? Tanakama says yes. Rabbi Nosson says no. The halacha, so said this particular person to Rabbi Yochanan, wanted to know, is the halacha like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho? They have to see at the same time or not? He said, well, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you that Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho says they don't have to see at the same time, agrees to Rabbi Nosson in order to testify at the same time. So Rabbi Yochanan said, that's not the information I'm looking for, but I already gave him smicha. However, Lisa lo teirid. Since he already had smicha, then it's not going to be taken away. So we see from here, Shema Minah Gavarabah, came into Samech Samech. A great person, once he receives smicha or confers smicha, different ways of understanding the girsa, and then the smicha still holds. Okay, by Dina Nefasha said these halakos don't apply. They do have to see together, and they do have to testify together. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph says that there's a principle, Holek Rachil Megala Sod, that it's not good to be a talebearer. There was a Talmud that told the secret in the Beis Medrash, something that was mentioned in the Beis Medrash. After 22 years, he told the secret, and Rabbi Ami Beis Medrash Shama, Dein Gali Razi. Rabbi Ami expelled him in the Beis Medrash and said, this is somebody who is a revealer of secrets. It's a machlokas in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph Aleph. It's called Raya Rishona V'Raya Acharona. Raya Rishona is the case where the Parah Bezdin says to a litigant that if you don't bring any more Rias or Edim within 30 days, so then the case is over, then the person finds Rias or Edim after 30 days. So Shimon Gamliel says, what do you want from the guy? He didn't have it then, he had it after 30 days. You can't exclude that evidence. Be possible by Shimon Gamliel when Raya Rishona. Second case is the person himself says, I don't have more evidence to bring, and then he comes up with more evidence after that time. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, what do you want? He didn't know about the evidence at the time. There we do not pass Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's Raya Achrona. If, however, it was something in Medina Siyam relating to his father, the Gemara says that he couldn't have known about, so then we will make an exception. There is a Gemara that we passed over that is on Daf Chod Vavam and Beis that I wanted to mention, which is that if the psul of Edus, a person becomes a psul Edus, not under Raisa level Daniel, so then you said, oh, well, what do you want from all the people relied on this person after they became psul Edus, but before we knew from others testifying that they're psul Edus, that they're really psul Edus, we're going to psul everything they did in the interim, so we say we don't. In those cases, we require hachraza until the moment that we publicize to the world that they're psul Edus, they don't become psul retroactively. It's only when it's psul Edus on a deraisa level. Right, Only if it's a psul eidus on a daraisa level. If it's a drabanan level, so then it is not retroactive. Okay, that's the, in response to your question. That was on chav davar base. Now we're on daf lamed base. Daf lamed base, we say that there are certain differences and certain similarities between dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos. One difference is, in dinei mamonos, we always listen to when the dayanim are conferring after hearing the testimony, so the one who's the gadol is the one who speaks first. If it's dinei nefashos, maskilim in atzad, so then we don't want everybody to be swayed and intimidated by the one who's the biggest gadol, so we start with the one who is the katan, okay? So that is also an important principle. Daf lamed base, amud base, says that sometimes we have to apply pshara. What are cases of pshara? There are two boats that are passing shtei svinos over Bzinar in the river, and we have to figure out which one is going to go first. If they go at the same time, then they're both going to sink. So then we say that the one that is bearing the heavier burden, that's the tuuna, and we get to go before the she'ena tuuna, the one that's not bearing a heavy burden. The one that's closer, we get to go before the one that's she'ena klover, the one that is further away. So this is the idea that we try to make pshara. We learn that from tzedek, tzedek, tirdok. Why does it say tzedek twice? Echo the din, echo the pshara. That it's appropriate in various cases that you have to apply principles of pshara. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph says that if a dayan is a toa b'davar mishnah, that he makes a mistake regarding a din that is codified like in a pasuk, it's codified in a mishnah, so then the din goes back to scratch. So Ravina and Ravashi were having a discussion about this and said that even if Ravina said to Ravashi, even if a person made a mistake in the brisos that were codified by Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yoshi, it's considered to be toa b'davar mishnah. And then the Ravina asked Ravashi, he said, but what about if it's a mistake in the Amoraim, of Rabbi Shmuel? He said, even that's Torah B'dvar Mishnah. So what about it's us? What if it's Ravina and Ravashi, the two of us? We're like at the end of the Gemara. So a person makes a mistake about something we codified. Is that also considered to be a fundamental error? I feel with Didi B'di Dach, so Amalei Atu Anan Katli Kani B'Agma Anan. So he said, do you think that we're just people who cut reeds in a swamp? We also count for something. Okay, so the Gemara says, in the case of Rabbi Tarfon, he made a ruling that he felt was a mistake regarding whether a certain animal was treif, a para that had was shenidla aim shalah, that its womb was missing, but it turned out that even though its womb was missing, just because they automatically cut it out even if the animal was kosher, he said that it was treif and it was really kosher. So he said, now halacha chamorcha tarfon, now I'm going to have to pay with my own money for this mistake that I made. Rabbi Kiva said, don't worry, you're putter because you're mumcha marabim. So the Gemara clarifies, well, there's two reasons he was part of. One, he was a Torah B'davar Mishnah, and number two, he was a Mumcha L'Rabbi, he was appointed as a Mumcha, and therefore he had a special exemption, a special immunity as a result of that. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Daled says that the Mishnah had said that normally if a dayan had found an exemption and found a svara to acquit somebody who was a capital defendant, they can't change their vote. But the Gemara says that's only b'shas masu matana, b'shas gmardin, melamin schus kozim, melamin chover. But if it's at the time of the final verdict itself, so then if the person's really convinced they made a mistake and they want to change from acquitting to convicting, they would be allowed to change from acquitting to convicting at that point in time. There are two different psukim that indicate for dinei mamonos purposes, can it be during the daytime? Or can it even, does it have to be during the daytime, only during the nighttime? One pasuk says, v'shavtu esa'am b'choleis, indicating even at nighttime. Another pasuk says, v'ayab yom anchibo esbanav, indicating the daytime. So Gemara clarifies, ha'ketza yom l'tchivas din, laila l'gemar din, that the din should begin during the day, but it can be completed at night. Based on this Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan felt that even a blind person could be a dayan, because we see that the whole thing doesn't have to be during the daytime, and the Gemara indicates that's a machlokis between here and another sugya as well. Now, Gemara on Daf Lamed Hei says the Mishnah had said that you couldn't judge a case on Friday because you need halanas din in order to convict, and Shabbos you're not allowed to convict. So why not just wait around until Sunday? So the Gemara says you might forget by then. Oh, but everything's going to be recorded. And even though the Eidim might record it, liba d'inshi inshi hilchak lo efsha. But people are just forgetful. They're going to eat their cholent and they'll forget everything over the course of Shabbos, and therefore you have to take that into account and not allow for a two-day intermission. The Gemara on Lamed Hei on the base proves in the pasuk "Sabaru Eish B'chol Mosh Roseichem." Mosh Roseichem is a reference elsewhere by you. Eilu Lachem L'Kras Mishvat Dor Roseichem B'chol Mosh Roseichem to Bezdin. So Lo Sabaru Eish means that Bezdin is not allowed to administer capital punishment on Shabbos. This is how we know that we don't punish on Shabbos. Daf Lamed Vav says that in the minion of the Bay Rebbe, They always, Rav Anna says that they always began with me and not with Rebbe, even if it was Dine Mamanas, so we didn't start with Rebbe, who was the Gadol. Why is that? Because Shari de Minyana de Bei Rebbe, the Kula Minyanahu Minatzad Habu Miskali, that they always began Minatzad from those who are the least prestigious or prominent Dayanim. Why is that? Rashi's Mimnei Anova Yisterish Aisabo, because he was such a humble individual. The Gemara on Chulam and Bava Mibes says that we have a lush in the Mishnah. Hakok Sharon Lodun Dine Mamas. Comes to Dine Mamas as opposed to Dine Pashas. Everybody is kosher to be a Dayan. Who's everybody? So the Gemara says that it comes to include, there are two different references to this. One is a reference to a Mamzen, one is a reference to a Ger. A Ger is allowed to be a Dayan. So the Tosos and others talk about what are the parameters. It could be only if it's Kaveh or a Ger. And others say maybe if it's a type of Din that does not require Kefiya, where you're not compelling any party to do anything. What exactly are the parameters? When a ger considers a dayan, but we see certainly he can sometimes. The Gemara on Laman Zayin Amud Al says, "Kesan Ma'ayman Seidim." How do we put the fear of God in the witnesses who are coming to testify in a capital case? So we tell people that we see from the beginning of Kayin Behevel that it is when you cause somebody to die unjustly, it's called the Me'achika Tzoakim. It doesn't say Damachika, but the Me'achika, that you're causing death for this person and all future generations. And the Fikach Niva Adam Yechidin Lamedchach Kome Abid Atz and Nefesh Achas Misom Alin Avakasu Kidu Ibid Olamoli. Because some people to die, it's considered one person to die, it's considered like you have destroyed the entire world. The Gemara Lam and Zion and Beis says we see from our Mishnah that when it comes to Dinah Nefashos, you can't allow it to rely upon Umdana, we say upon Me Umud. You're not allowed to apply, to rely upon circumstantial evidence. And the Gemara says, oh, but it sounds like from Dine Mamanas you are allowed to. That sounds like Rabbi Acha. Rabbi Acha has the case of the camels, that you see that there is a camel that was killed, and there was one camel that was in heat. So you can assume it was the camel in heat that was the one that did the killing, and the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Acha. So the Gemara concludes, no, just because we say that we don't rely upon omen, circumstantial evidence in Dine Nefashos, doesn't mean that we pass like Rabbi Acha, that we allowed to rely upon him in Dine Mamanas. It could be Dine Mamanas, we don't rely upon it either. Daf Lamed Chesam and Aleph talks about this principle in the Mishnah that the person was created as one individual, so that we could see that each individual represents an entire universe. Because so the Gemara expands further upon this and says another reason, because if it was from lots of people, so then people would say there were different creators of different individuals. Another explanation is because it's tzaddikim and the Rishayim. So if somebody is a tzaddik, they'll say, oh, I came from somebody from an original creation who was a tzaddik, and therefore I can do no wrong, and they'll never worry about committing a sin, and they'll be more likely to commit a sin. And a Rasha will say, there's no hope for me because I feel that I'm a Rasha. I came from one of those people who was created as a Rasha, and therefore I'll never be able to do tshuva. So therefore we show everybody was created from the same person. So the Gemara should not be so smug, and the Rishayim should not become despondent. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes speaks about how when Achav was killed, Be'ibur Rishayim Mina, there was great happiness in the camp. So we say, but wait a second, we just read today in Parshas Bishalach, we read about it says Lokar Zel Zekol Laila, that the Hakadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow the Malachim to say Shira because his Sin Ma'isa Yadai told him Biyam. So Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina gives an explanation: Who ain't no sas of Lokar Meisis? Hakadosh Baruch Hu isn't happy himself, but he can make other people happy. The people who are being oppressed by Achav were happy when Achav was killed. The Gemara ends up saying, talking about Obadiah, who was the servant for Achav. He was a Ger Edom Mihaya. He was a Ger from the nation of Edom, and you look at his prophecies. He prophesied about Edom. From the forest itself comes the tools, the hammers and the hatchets that are fashioned in order to cut down the trees of the forest. Another way of expressing this is Yerach Mitochem Asrachas, that a thigh decays from the inside from itself. The Gemara in Daf Mem speaks about how the Edom would be interrogated, and how Bitzilo Eda mandated that you try to acquit a capital defendant. Maisu Baduk Ben Zakai Be'uktzei Te'edim. Ben Zakai found there was a contradiction between Edom, that he asked them questions about, well, there was a murder that took place under a fig tree. He said, so were the figs, were the stems that attached the figs to the tree, were they big stems or were they small stems? Were they Uktzei Gasin or Dakin? And the Edom contradicted each other. So he said, oh, on this basis, we're going to have to throw out the testimony and exempt the defendant. The Gemara on Daf Mem Aleph says that there is a principle, a requirement of Achiyatiris Atzmo Lemisa, Yuma Sames. that when the warning is given to a capital offender, the person has to say, the Edom have to say, if you do this, you're going to suffer the death penalty. And the person has to say, yes, and I'm doing it anyway. I'm doing it for the purpose of, I know, that I know I'm going to get the death penalty, and that's why I'm doing it. So this is very unlikely to happen, we figure, but that's one of the reasons that we're able to usually find ways to exempt the capital defendants. One of the things is because we require Achiyatir is Atzmo La Misa. The Gemara on, yes. Achiyatir Atzmo La Misa, where he says, yes, I know this is the death penalty, and that's what I want. I have that death wish, and that's why I'm committing this capital offense. The Gemara on Daf Mem Beis talks about, the Mishnah had said that if there is a discrepancy between like the days of the month, it could be, you know, they didn't have necessarily their calendars on their wristwatches to know what day of the month it was. Sometimes they can make a mistake, which day was Rosh Chodesh. So that makes sense up until a certain number of days of the month, but, you know, after a certain point, you see it's a full moon, so you know that it's not going to be the beginning of, you know, it's not going to be the beginning of the month anymore, right? So the Gemara segues from this into a discussion about up until when can you say Kiddush Levana? When is the moon first new? When we say that it's a new moon, and when do we say that the moon is an old moon? So one opinion says up until the Rabbi Yehuda, up until the seventh day of the month, and the other opinion which we follow is up until the 16th day after the Molad. So we ask, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe you should still make a bracha. You don't make Kiddush Levana, make the bracha Tov Emeti, because the moon is getting larger. So then the Gemara says, yeah, but are we going to say Dayan Hamas when the moon gets smaller? Rather, no. So why not make both? Make Tov Emeti when the moon gets larger, make Dayan Hamas when the moon gets smaller. We say, no, that since it is the normal course, every single month we know the moon's going to get larger, the moon's going to get smaller, so therefore we don't make the bracha Tov Emeti and Dayan Hamas for the things that are very normal. Gemara says that when the end of Chlamet Membes Amun Alf, when it comes to Dine Mamunos, you say Nizdak in Adin, Beinom in Medina Nepashis is Dak in Adin. What does it mean Nizdak in Adin? The Dayan will have to say, we did a good job. If it's a Dine Mamunos, the Dine Nepashis, then I like to say we did a good job, because if they convicted somebody, they're supposed to say to themselves, maybe we didn't do a good job, and we should find, you know, reasons why we may have made a mistake in order to be able to acquit the defendant even after we have issued our verdict. The Gemara on the Daf Membeis and Membeis says that the Beis HaSkila, where they would put somebody who was going to be stoned to death, was outside of the Bezdin, and was Kutzlimi Shalosh Machanos, and the reason for this is so that the Bezdin shouldn't look like they were murderers themselves, and also so there'll be more time while he's being escorted to Tahavi Lehatzala in order for somebody to figure out grounds for acquittal. They would have a sudar, they would have a handkerchief that they would wave if there was somebody who came forward to acquit, so that those who taking the person to be executed would see that the handkerchief was being waved. There was also a horse that was stationed to be able to run after those individuals to stop them if there was going to be a last minute reprieve. There was wine that was given to the person as well so that they wouldn't be so discombobulated. Who had to pay for all of these things? So the Gemara says, well, with respect to the wine, it makes sense that it would be paid by the tzibur. It seems that these things probably were provided by the tzibur according to this, because it says tenu shekel oved b'yayin l'mari nefesh, says that you're supposed to. It says tenu, sounds like the tzibur is supposed to provide the wine, for these purposes. The Gemara Ben Gimel Amud Beis speaks about how at the time of Achan, when the Bnei Yisrael had gone into Eretz Yisrael, and they suffered losses in the Battle of Ai because somebody had taken from the booty of Yericho, he wanted to know who was it. It was Chote. So Yeshua turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, He says, am I a tattletale? Hapel Garolos. You should draw lots, and you'll figure out who was the one who was the sinner. The lot fell upon Achan. It says about Achan, the Chote Yisrael, that he sinned and he was a Yisrael. So we see from here, I'm Rabbi Abba Barzata, Afabi Shechote Yisraelu. Even though a person sins, they're still considered to be a Yisrael. It's more on the top of the Memdown and up. So I'm Rabbi Abba, Hainu Dami Inchi, Asa the Kaibeni Chilfi, Asa Shmei, Basu Korolei. So we see from this that a rose that grows among thorns is still called a rose, right? Okay. A rose by, you know, grows that among thorns is a rose by, still retains its name. So now the Gemara on...
It wouldn't be a rose if it wasn't among thorns.
Right, okay, fine. Well, it's still, right, we still call, we call it by, it still retains its stature. So, Memhe Amun Aleph says that we have a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim as to whether if a woman receives the death penalty, she's going to be stoned, that we take off her clothes, or does she accept for a little bit, according to what Rabbi Yehuda says, or does she wear all of her clothes? That's what the Chachamim say. So the Gemara says, okay, it sounds like the Chachamim are worried that people are going to have Hirhurim. Rabbi Yehuda's not worried they're going to have Hirhurim. But when it comes to Sota, we see it's exactly the other way around. The Rabbi Yehuda says that if she's a nice-looking person, so then we make sure not to strip her of her clothes. And the Chachamim say, no, you strip away at her clothing. If the clothing falls off, the clothing falls off. So how do we explain this discrepancy with respect to Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says that with respect to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a discrepancy because we're worried in the case of Sota that if she's going to be exonerated, then the young Kohan and Musir are going to lust for her. However, here, we don't have to worry about any love, anybody lusting, says Rabbi Yehuda. She could basically be naked except for a little bit of clothing because she's being killed. So we don't have to worry about people lusting for her. And the Chachamim explain their discrepancy because he's saying with respect to Sota, says Vinim Vasu Kol Noshim, that she's supposed to receive Musa. So therefore, you have to pull away the clothes. If they fall off, they fall off. But here, in the case of stoning, in the Chayisa Gadam Mizeh, she's being stoned, my goodness. So she's getting enough musa by the fact that she's being stoned. She doesn't have to have her clothes taken off as well.
Yes, but really, yes. I think Rabbi Yehuda's logic, the premise that the woman was getting stoned, I mean, we just talked about that, you know, if they wave the handkerchief, then she might not get stoned. Until she's stoned, she's not stoned.
Well, we're talking about the actual mice of stoning, when this is the shas mice.
I know, but she's still... There's
you're right, but at a certain point, we would deem it to be unlikely. It's a good kasha. I think at a certain point, we deem it to be, unlikely.
Isn't it the same thing with Sota, then?
Yeah. Well, with Sota, we said that there's the possibility she'll get off with that. That we mentioned with Sota, but in the case of the death penalty, we said, well, now she's already getting killed, so she's getting killed. We don't have to worry anymore.
Getting killed at that point, aren't they?
The Sota could go either way, right? Because the Sota, she drinks the water, either her belly will burst, or she'll be exonerated, or turn out that she's okay. We know that there's the possibility of both. When we throw somebody off the high building, when they're getting stoned, so there's no possibility that they're not going to die.
I thought the case with Sota was if she admits at the last minute.
No. The case of Sota is no. Where she's just drinking from the water, we're trying to discourage her, right? We're trying to discourage her, but the Maisa, we're assuming that we're going in that direction. But you're right, yeah, maybe she won't, but we're speaking about how this whole process is in order to administer a musa to her, and we know that the whole process is one that may not end with her dying. That's what the Gemara says, that's the whole point. So now the Gemara says that the Mishnah says that the base of Skilu was basically three stories high. It was two stories high plus the person's own height, made it three stories. Why do you need so much? He said that really a Sarat Falcom should have been enough. So the Gemara Nachman, Ravavua, Amakrovi, after the Reka Kamacha, Barolo Misa Yafe. You're supposed to choose a nice miso. A person's going to die, you still have to have compassion, that it should be as considerate as possible, so therefore you don't want the person to have to languish and suffer. Shmuel, very important din, Mehmehem Beis, he says that if the Edom have their hands chopped off, so then the capital defendant becomes potter. Why? Because the Beina Yada Edom Tiyeb of a Rishon of a Leko, because it says that the hands of the witnesses have to be capable of putting the person to death, even if they're not the ones who end up doing it. But here it's not even a possibility. So according to Shmuel, you need Kra Kidiksiv, that you have to administer the Pasuk exactly the way that it is written.
How can they possibly call Srefa a nice Misa?
Oh, we haven't gotten up to Srefa yet, but we say the way, yes, we have it with respect to Srefa. You're running ahead a little bit. With respect to Srefa, it's a nice Misa because we don't actually burn the person at the stake. We just put a Psila Shel Aver in their mouth, which causes them to die in that fashion, but we don't burn them at the stake, so therefore that's also a manifestation of after the Reka Kamoka. It doesn't mean that it's pleasant to be put to death, but it means that once we have to put the person to death, so we do it in the most pleasant possible fashion. Important principle here, Mem Bava Menal, Makim Me'onchin Shalom in the Torah, that Bezda could sometimes administer extrajudicial punishments, in order to create a fence around the Torah, in order to make sure that people keep the proper observances. Ma'aseh Echad, for example, was somebody who rode a horse on Shabbos in the days of the Greeks, so there was a real fear that people were not paying proper, serious observance to Shabbos, and therefore this person was stoned. Menomine Shiroi Lekach, not because because this was the really normal punishment, rather because this was necessary, it was necessary to take this extreme measure at that moment in time. Dafka Mem Vavim and Beis speaks about is kvua, the mitzvah of burying somebody, is that mishum b'zyona? Is that because we want to save them from embarrassment, or from degradation, or mishum kapara, is it for atonement? What's the nafka mina? If the person says, I don't want to be buried. So if it's b'zyona, so we don't want the relatives to be degraded, and therefore should be buried anyway. It's because a kapara, a person has the right to say they don't want a kapara. Similar question about hespedes. Hespedes, you cover the chayi of it, or you cover the shikvi of it? When you eulogize somebody, is that in order to give cover to the people who are still alive, or to the person who died? What's the nafka mina? The person says, I don't want a hesped. If it's for the sake of the person who's dead, so he has the right to say it. If it's for the sake of the people who are living, so then the person who's dead doesn't get to decide that. At the end, Rabbi Nassim is quoted saying it's a siman yavah l'meishu difamim ein l'acha misa. It's a siman yavah for somebody if the person suffers kind of a degrading burial, or if he's not properly eulogized or properly buried. So we see from here that what it means a siman yavah. How is that a good siman? So we see from here that it's all for the purpose of providing support for the person who died. That all of these procedures are for the sake of the person who died. Shema minah, and therefore the conclusion is that it is not for the chayi, for those who are alive, but it's rather for the shikvi, for those who died. The Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin on the basis the machlokas of Abaye v'Rava about whether hazman and milsa here. If you just prepare garment shrouds for a person who is dead, but you didn't actually use the shrouds yet. So are you allowed to use them for other purposes and change your mind? They say, no, once they were designated for this purpose, they can't be used for anything else. So Abaye says, once they're designated, that's it. It's milsihi. Rava says, no, until they're used, asmana lav milsihi, we paskin like Rava. Good expression of this is on Daf Mem Chesed Av through Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that if you have a handkerchief, hayis zudra, that's not only made of a tefillin, handkerchief or that like a tefillin bag, a tefillin zekel that you set aside to put tefillin in, mitzabe tefillin aser the made of a pshiti. If you designate it and you put in tefillin, then you're not allowed to use it for coins. So therefore, we see asmin lelot sabe. If you prepared it but you didn't put in the tefillin or it's sabe or you put in the tefillin lo azamne, but you hadn't set it aside for that purpose, shari the made of a pshiti, then you would be allowed to put in coins. You need both. You need both that. It is set aside, and that it has been used for this purpose as well. Rav says that David had lots of klolos that he imposed upon Yoav, and all of those klolos ended up being applicable to the zera, to the children and descendants of David Hamelech. Because remember, Yoav had killed Abner. He had done things that David HaMelech was not terribly pleased about. So he gave Abner, Yoav, all of these klolos, but then David himself ended up incurring those klolos. So we learn from here, this is what people say, that it's better to be somebody who is cursed than to be the one who is doing the cursing. Wow. Remember that Abner had killed the brother of Yoav, Asael, who was running after him, and Yoav felt that he could have just wounded him without killing him. So therefore, Yoav took it upon himself to kill Abner. And it says that he took Abner aside in order to speak to him. Bishelli means, sounds like in secret, but says, I'll escape Shalom. That he was saying to him, hey, your shoelace is untied. He was speaking to him about his shoe. Lashon shalna alecha. And then he gave him a fatal blow of the sword which is around the fifth rib, right? Vayakeu sham el hakomish, around the fifth rib, dofen chamishis, and that's a good way to kill somebody, apparently. So the Gemara on Daf Mem Tesem Beis says, Aramisos, so there are four different types of capital punishment that were given to Beis Din in order of severity. Skila, Sreifa, Herik, Vechedek. Rabbi Shimon has a different order of severity. He says, no, Sreifa is the most severe, then Skila, Herik, Vechedek. And Herig, which means beheading somebody, is the least severe. So we assume, like the Tanakama, that skila, stoning, is the most severe, and chedek, and strangulation, is considered to be the least severe. The Gemara on Daf Nun has a machlokis between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon, when the Torah says, Ubas kohen ki sekel liznos, esavio hi mechales, eishti sarek. If you have a bas kohen who commits adultery, so she gets this punishment of sreifa. According to the Tanakama, that the chachamim, that the most severe punishment is skila. So in Aram Urasa, a betrothed woman normally gets skila. So we're not going to say that a bas kohen, if she's betrothed, gets a less severe punishment. So therefore, the pasuk must be talking about when she's a nesua. According to Rabbi Shimon, no, the pasuk could be talking about when she's an arusa or when she's a nesua. Normally, an arusa gets skila, a nesua who commits adultery gets chedek, but she's a bas kohen, so in both cases she would get the more severe punishment of sereifa. Gemara and Daphne and Aleph, of course, the third sheet, that of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael fundamentally holds like Rabbi Shimon. In the case of Naaman Rasa, who's a bas kohen, that she would go from skila to sereifa, she would receive sereifa. However, she's a nesua, she just gets the usual punishment that a nesua would get, namely of chedek. The Gemara on Daf Nun base speaks about the mitzvah sanisrafin. How do we burn? Like Arnie was asking about, right? So we say in the Mishnah says that we put a psilah, that we put that we put something in the mouth, right? Benosnin stu the kasha tocharacha. And we umadlik and posek as pivu madlik as a psila v'so zarka as tok piv, that we put a wick, a flaming wick, inside of the mouth. But we don't actually burn somebody at the stake, because we learn from Adas Korach, where it speaks about sreifa, and it's assumed in Adas Korach that it was just sreifa's neshama, that what was burned was the neshama v'guf kayim, but the body was left intact. Even though the Gemara indicates that we could have learned from elsewhere, maybe B'nai Aaron, maybe according to one day it was a complete burning, so why do we do it this way? Because of, as we mentioned, the hafta, the reyacha, kamocha, right?
Just a burning wick. I thought you poured hot lead down the person's
throat. Well, we're pouring the lead, right, but we're not burning at the stake. We're not burning at the stake, we're not burning up the entire body. That we're not doing. The Gemara here talks about Moshe and Aaron. They were walking Bederach and Nadav and Avihu, who eventually, as we know, they suffered this fate, right, of being burned because of the avera that they because of something that they did. So what was it that Nadav and Avihu? What was the sin of Nadav and Avihu? So different versions of their sin. But according to the Gemara here, they said, when are these two old geezers of Moshe and Aaron, when are they going to die? So that we can be the leaders of the generation. We'll see who buries whom. But Papa says, we learn from here, we see from here that this is like people say, there are a lot of old camels that are carrying the hides of the young suckling camels who die way before the older ones expire. The Gemara on Nun Beis and Beis talks about the mitzvah Neharogin, when we use death by the sword of Herig, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like the idea of a regular Metisinus Rosha Basayef with a regular using a sword. Rather, he says Kotzitz Bekopitz, which, so why is it that he doesn't like the regular beheading by a sword? Because he says that this is what the Goyim do, and it's Kukas Goyim Kukasayim Lo Selechu. The Chacham says, no, since it's written in the Torah, Lo Minayo Kam Gamrinan, we're not really learning from them, and therefore it would be okay. The Gemara on Nun Gimel says, it talks about who are the people who get the death penalty of stoning. So one example is if one has relations with their mother, one has relations with their father's wife, one has relations with a kala, meaning with their daughter-in-law. Okay, the Gemara on Nun Dalan Min Aleph says, we learn from Mishkeve Isha, says with respect to relations, sasadami, relations of one man with another man, that Mishkeve Isha, even if they have relations through sodomy, so that would be prohibited, that would be included within a capital offense. I'm Rabbi Shmuel, raised a balamim, means a lamim. So this is coming to teach with respect to the case of homosexuality, but in salami, but we learn from here with respect to all the other cases of incestuous relations that they would incur capital punishment, not only for normal intercourse, but for anal intercourse as well. The Gemara on Daf and Nunheim and Alf has a very interesting case. Somebody takes their aver and they move it all the way to their anal portion of the body. So are they liable for Mishkav Zalka, for having relations with themselves? Well, in order to get the aver to the other side, it would have to be pretty loose. So that really would depend upon whether Mishamish Meis Barayas Pater or Mishamish Meis Barayas is Chaya. Very interesting discussion. Mishamish Meis means that if somebody has relations but their aver is not hard, their aver is soft. Okay, now, the Gemara then talks about how if there is bestiality, then the beast is also put to death. So what if bestiality was committed by a non-Jew? Do you require tekala v'kolon? Does it have to be that tekala was brought, that the person is put to death? That would be true of a non-Jew who's also not allowed to engage in bestiality. Does there also have to be kolon? It could be that if it's a pagan, the pagan wouldn't be embarrassed by it, so there would be no kolon by virtue of keeping the behemoth alive. So the Gemara has a discussion about that back and forth. The Gemara on Nun Vav starts once more on the subject. what are, in fact, all of the laws, the mitzvahs that are applicable to the non-Jews, the people who are not Jewish? So Gemara says, seven mitzvahs that apply to the non-Jews, dinen, ubeikas Hashem, avodazara, gilo yirayas, shikustamar, megezel, ve'eva, minachai. Those are the seven. There are other various Amoraim who say, well, there are really more than seven. There's really some say daminachai, or sirus, castration, some say kishuv, that magic, other things that are potentially added as well, maybe kelayim, breeding, crossbreeding different types of animals, so it's not necessarily dafka seven. But the Gemara does have a different limudim of how we come up with the big seven. The pasuk that appears in Bereishis, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam Lemo Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel. From each one of the words in this pasuk, we derive one of the seven mitzvahs. Like for example, Vayitzav, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's referring to the dinim, and when it says Elokim, that's referring to they have to stay away from Avodas Kocharim. And Rabbi Yitzchak also derives from these words, but he derives different dinim from different words in the pasuk. The Gemara in Zayin Manaf is an important principle from Nachman Yitzchak, Ashar Shlan Zui Misasa, that when we have the Ashar, when we have it, that they are not allowed to do something, even if it doesn't say it's going to incur capital punishment, it automatically incurs capital punishment. The Gemara in Zion and Bay says that included within their prohibition of a murder is afalo uberin, that they're also not allowed to have abortions. As it says that if you pour blood, you spill blood inside of the person, damo yishafek, ezu adam shuba adam habe omez, the uber should be made emo. Tosus elsewhere asks that we don't find that it's a capital offense for us. It's only a capital offense when the fetus actually comes out. Tosus says that's true, but it's still prohibited for us. It's just that for them it's an actual capital offense. Maran nunches amene aleph, yes.
Now, just how much, so we say that these are, these Yisurim that to the nations of the world. Now, how much is that? Do we expect them? Do we say, well, we're gonna try that they should?
That's a whole discussion. Some say that it is proper for us to establish like yeshiva shem behavior, things of that sort, in order to teach all of the nations of the world the Zion mitzvah. Some say it's appropriate. Some say that it's not necessary, which is necessary. That's our obligation. Just if they ask us, then we should answer. Different views about that. Different views. Rabbi Bleich has a long article about it in one of the volumes of Contemporary Halachic Problems that I would recommend to you. But let's go on. Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. There, when we say that the arayos, the different relationships are prohibited for different incestuous or intimate relations are prohibited for the non-Jews, so with their relatives, it's only from the mother's side, not from the father's side. So one example would be, Nasa Chosim Ne'em Yotzi, if they married a sister from the mother, so then that requires a divorce. So it's only a sister from the father, then Yikayim, then it does not require a divorce. With respect to adultery, so we learn the prohibition for them from the pasuk. It says v'davak v'ishtol, that they cling to their wife, meaning below be'eshes chavero, and not to somebody else's wife. But because the lashon that's used there is v'davak, so they get a dispensation that it's only kedarka, not shelo kedarka, only if it's regular intercourse as opposed to anal intercourse. It says ovikachavim shabbos chayim misa, ovikachavim that observe Shabbos this chayim misa because of yom leil lo yishbosu. They have an obligation to keep to work every single day of the week. But Ravina says that's even if they keep Shabbos on Sheni b'Shabbos, they decide they're going to make Shabbos into a different day of the week, like Monday, for example, that would be included. Rabbi Yochanan, very interesting. Then, if they learn Torah, the Chayim Misa. Aye. But we learn that if they learn Torah, that Ha'adam, even a non-Jew who learns Torah, Ha'ayim, they're considered to be like the Kohen Gadol, Yekarihim Peninim. So the Gemara says that's only B'Sher Mitzvahs they do. That's only if they learn the Zayim Mitzvahs when enough. That's a good thing. The bottom of the Testament Aleph has the principle that if we have a mitzvah in the Torah that was only recorded before our Sinai and not repeated after our Sinai, so then it only applies to us and doesn't apply to them. Why not say it only applies to them and not to us? Very important principle here. Leka midam lisa shari lovi kukarvim asa. There's nothing, no mitzvah that we would say is prohibited to them and permitted to us. So that's where Tosas asked the question about abortion. He says, yeah, well, they could get capital punishment, but it doesn't mean that it's permissible to us. It's still not permissible to us, just doesn't necessarily incur the same penalty.
I don't understand. I thought Shabbos does incur the death penalty for them. It sounds like here that should be permitted then.
So Tosfos asked that question as well. He says, this is only with respect to an issa, something which is a mitzvah for us. So then, as opposed to something which is framed as an issa, but it's really an affirmative mitzvah, so then we don't apply this principle. Then we could say that they would get, if they observe the mitzvah, they could get misa, but we still have the obligation to perform the mitzvah. He says it only applies to Yisrael. Very good. You're mekaving to the kasha of Tosfos. Okay, the Gemara on Daf Samach Amud Aleph says that when it comes to klal, a person was negadic, a person blasphemed Hashem. So when it comes time to for the sentencing, they have to the edim have to say what they heard. First one says, "Well, I heard the blaspheming of Hashem," and the other one says, "Afani kamo." Yeah, I heard that too, but we don't require that person to actually say that. And why is that? Because normally, says the Gemara, in the name of Reish Lakish, if a person just said Afani kamo, that would be good enough. It's just a maled normally we require that each aid has to recite the testimony in full. But here, because they're saying the blasphemy that they heard would require people to rip their clothes and so forth, so we allow the person to say Afani kamo in this particular case. The Gemara in Daf Samach Aleph and Aleph has the machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Person worships idols. Now we're talking about idol worship, right? Person worships idols. So they do it out of love or fear, like love for the person who is asking them, or fear of what's going to happen to them. So Abai says the person who worshipped is still chayv, and Rava says no, he's potter. And we paskin like Rava. So Tosfos says, wait a second, but don't we say that you should give up your life when a person says to worship idols? But then if you're worshiping, you're only doing it out of fear, so I have to give up your life. So Tosfos says, yeah, you have to give up your life, but if you didn't give up your life, so you don't incur capital punishment, but it's still proper to give up your life under those circumstances. Gives a different answer. Maybe Abai and Rava only arguing about a type of idolatry, which is only worship Me'avah Mi'ira, like, you know, people bowing down to Haman, they don't really think it's a deity, but they're doing it Mi'ira. And that's where Rabbi says, Yapata, but not otherwise. The Gemara in Samach Beis Amud Aleph says that, let's say a person does all kinds of idol worships at the same time. They do a Peshogeg, so it would be a question of bringing different korbanos. They bring one korban or many korbanos. They Zibeach, they sacrifice V'kiter, and they offered incense, V'nisek, libations, V'shtachaveh, and they bow down. So we know that the Torah explicitly talks about Hishtachaveh, Le'elacher, Lo'sa'avdeim, that Hishtachaveh is singled out in three different places in the Torah. So it could be it's singled out. It's just like this is singled out. So all the others are singled out, like we have by Shabbos, you know, that Havar L'chalek Yotzos, that you'd have to bring a separate korban for each one. So when Rabbi Zakkai said, you only chayav achas, and he said that in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't like that. Puktani Lavara, that doesn't sound right for me. That even though when it comes to Shabbos, there's a machlokas, whether Havar L'lav Yotzos or L'chalek Yotzos, but everybody agrees that if it's not L'chalek Yotzos, we have that breaking up or separation of having to bring a separate korban for each malacha. We learn from Me'achas Me'hena, from some separate pasuk here by Avodah Zarah, we don't necessarily have the luxury to do so. So everybody would agree Hishtachavah L'chalek Yotzo, that you would the purpose of having Hishtachavah, the prohibition listed separately, is to teach you to bring a separate chattis for each one. Nonetheless, the Gemara in Zav Samach Gimel Amud Aleph does quote Rabbi Yami that says that from the pasuk of Lo Sa'avdeim, I have another Xeris Akosiv that links all of the different Avodah Karm together, Asan Kuban Avodah Akas, to indicate that you'd only bring one Korban Chatas according to his opinion. So there is at least an opinion like that. Gemara in Samach Gimel Amud Aleph at the bottom says that you don't get Malkus of a lot of Shiva Klolos. If there are many different prohibitions that learn from one pasuk, so you don't get Malkus for any of them. What are examples of that? Like where it says, Lo Soklu Al Adam. We learn many prohibitions of don't eat on blood. One is that you're not supposed to eat from a behemoth before, while the behemoth is still being mefakes, even though the shkita has been completed. One is Lo Soklu Al Adam, that you're not allowed to eat meat and the dam is still bemizrak. If it's a korban, the blood is still sitting in the receptacle and hasn't been nizrak yet. Another is that in Mavin Aruge Bezdin, that we don't have a sudas havra to comfort for somebody who was put to death by Bezdin. And another is that a Sanhedrin that killed the Nefesh is not allowed to eat anything the entire day that they sentenced somebody to be executed on that day. So there's no malchus for these various offenses because they've all learned from the same pasuk. We have the prohibition asul on shama gimel base. Asul adam shiasa shutra. So you're not allowed to make a partnership with a pagan because it might cause them to come to do a to be mechayev a shvua. And when they're going to be nishba, they'll be nishba vavodas kochavim shalove torah amar lo yishama al picha. That you're not allowed to bring about the swearing of it in the name of a pagan deity. So Tosa says nonetheless. Rabbeinu Tam says that we do allow partnerships nowadays with the non-Jews, because even though they worship the Trinity, since they also have in mind God, just they're combining God with other, you know, entities, that would not be considered to be a prohibition of taking lo yishma al picha, of taking this type of shvur for them. Does that mean that the worship itself is also not prohibited for them? That's a machlokis in Achronim. How do we understand this Rabbeinu Tam? Very famous machlokis.
How about a Hindu, though?
Hindu was... it's not, we're not talking about, that's not like Trinity, that's, we assume that's no, complete paganism, so yeah, that would be a problem. I'll be pashtus. The Samantara Ben Aleph says that the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was destroyed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, that they cried out and said, this is too much what the Avodah Zarah is doing to us. Pasuk in Nechemiah, Vayizakah B'kol Gadol Hashem Elokeim, and they cried out that this Avodah Zarah, this will cause the destruction of the base of Mikdash, and therefore they were that Avodah Zarah was given over, Yahavta, that was given over to them, and now we no longer have that same Avodah Zarah. Kigoria Denura, there was given enough of Kigoria Denura, there was like a fiery lion that came out in Beis Kachim, and this was the Yisr da Avodah Zarah, and they destroyed it. So after they figured, okay, that's great, we destroyed one Yetzer Hara, now let's try to destroy the Yetzer Hara of Arias. But once they did that, so then the chicken stopped giving hatching eggs, and they realized that this is not going to work, so therefore they just sort of blinded its eye, and as a result, honey bay, that worked, law igriyen shibikrovase, that the Yetzirah, at least the people have for their own relatives, has been taken away, but other Yetziraharas in the realm of Arias have remained. The Gemara at the end of Sound Down and Off talks about Moloch, worshipping to Moloch, the going, crossing with fire on two sides, and one or offers a child to their children, to Moloch. So is this an Avodah Zarah worship, or is it something else? So the Tanakhama assumes this is real Avodah Zarah, so if you do it to any Avodah Zarah, it would constitute Avodah Zarah worship, you'd be chayav. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon says, no, only if you did it to Moloch, but not if you did this type of worship to an Avodah Zarah that was not Moloch, because it's not strict Avodah Zarah, it's just something else, some other type of ritual that is prohibited by the Torah. And there are special rules and regulations about Moloch. Heber kol zarah patush, mizaracha loza kol zaracha. It says that you have to give only part of your children to Moloch. If you give all of your children to Moloch, so then you'd be pater. So it seems like there are special rules and regulations relating to Moloch. Dr. Samach, hey, talks about a Baal Ob, that the Torah says that they would get skila right for Baal Ob if a person is guilty of they take a type of, it's a type of witchcraft where your malice and may said that you raise up the dead from underneath the ground, and they somehow appear in your armpit. So the Gemara has a very interesting thing. It says that the Chachamim say that there would be no korban chatas, for example, that would be brought in the case of Megadir, because Megadir b'shogeg, because of the fact that there's no maaseh, there's no maaseh for that, because it really depends upon what's in the person's heart. However, the Chachamim say that for hishtachava, for bowing down, kvivas kamaso is considered to be a maaseh. Okay. Rabbi Akiva said to Tornas Rufus, so we ask, why is Shabbos different from other days? So Rabbi Akiva said, well, we see that Shabbos is very different in various ways, and one proof that he brings is Baal Ov Yochiach, that this Baal Ov procedure, this witchcraft of bringing the dead from the ground and going underneath the armpit, was something that could not be done on Shabbos. Apparently, it would not rise on Shabbos. So he says, so we see that there's something very different about the quality of the day. And the Gemara has interesting discussions about other things that people might have the capacity to do. The Tzadikim wanted, he borrowed Tzadikim, borrowed Alma. Tzadikim could really create the world. Rava created a golem. Rabbi Zeira saw the Baruch Gavit, said, show you the coming to Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira, however, coming, Shtabi, Edibul, Avga, Kama, Hadilei, so the person couldn't speak, this thing couldn't speak. So Amlemi Chavayat, Hadil, Afok. So he said, go back to your dirt. Because the thing was just a golem. There's a golem story in the Gemara. The Gemara there also says Mechashiv Itim Mishals is included within Ma'onim. Also, a type of witchcraft horoscopes are considered to be witchcraft, which would be prohibited according to the Torah. Daf Samech Vav, don't follow the witchcraft. We have the Machlokas, Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Oshia, about how to understand when the Torah says, like for example, about your father and your mother. You're not allowed to curse your father and your mother. That is Ish Kishka Isha Shiya Kalel Sabibi Simo Mosimas Sabibi Mo Kalel Kilel Damab Bo. person would end up getting skiva for cursing their father and mother. Is that only if they curse the father and mother together, or even each one separately? So Rabbi Yonasan holds that whenever we have two different things that are mentioned in a pasuk, we assume that they are meant to be taken both together and separately, unless the Torah explicitly says yachta, that it's only together. Rabbi Yoshia says no. We would assume it's together unless that there is some indication that it's even if it's separate. So that's why here Rabbi Yoshia requires that it says both avivimo at the beginning of the pasuk and the end. Ki isha sheyikaleh sevivesimo mosimas avivimel kileh damavbo. It has to say it both times, because otherwise I wouldn't know that even if you curse them separately from each other, that you would still be liable. According to Rabbi Yonasan, that we know that you would still be liable, so why does he have to say it again? So that's to teach me that even if you did a lachamisa, even if you curse them after they were dead, you would still be liable. The Gemara on Daf Samach Zayin talks about mesis. You entice somebody to worship of Avodah Zarah. So that the Gemara, the Torah says, if you get skila for. So is that only case of mesis? What about a mediach, somebody who entices an entire city to worship of Avodah Zarah? What about a Navi who entices people to worship Avodah Zarah? So what punishment do they get? Do they also get skila as a machlokas? So the Chachamim hold that those two cases also get skila. Rabbi Shimon says, no, those two cases get chenek. The only case that actually gets skila is somebody who's a mesis who entices an individual. Question about how to interpret the Mishnah along these lines. The Mishnah sounds like a mesis zehedyot, a mesis esehedyot. Sounds like only if we're talking about a non-Navi, and we're talking about somebody who only entices a single individual, will get skila, but otherwise not. But the Gemara brings opinions that says, no, lozu afsu kitani. They were starting off with that case, but the same thing would apply to Mediach in the next Mishnah as well. This time it would also hold that the punishment would be skila. The Gemara on Amud Beis, Samach Zayin Amud Beis, speaks about different cases where people were doing kashafim, were doing witchcraft from other nations, and the rabbis had to protect themselves from the various witches and warlocks and the like. But we have an interesting statement about Rabbi Chanina, that he approached somebody who was trying to do witchcraft on him, and he said, it's not going to work because ein od melvado, because everything is included under the dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And even though people might think that witchcraft generally works, but Rabbi Chanina had such a strong sense of Eino Mavadu Nafish Zuchuse, so therefore, it clearly, without his understanding, it clearly was not going to even create the illusion of working. Daf Samaches, Amud Aleph, speaks about Rabbi Eliezer when he got sick. So Rabbi Kiva and his friends came to visit him, and the people who were in the house were so busy on trying to make sure that the tefillin were taken off, that he shouldn't be wearing tefillin on Shabbos. He said, I don't understand you guys. That you're so concerned about the Issa Shvus that I shouldn't wear tefillin on Shabbos, that you're going to delay lighting the candles and cooking the food, that you're going to be over on Issa Skila. You got to have your priorities straight in life. Gemara Samach Esam Beis talks about the Ben Saramora, the child who defies his parents and the like, and he steals from them, and he buys meat and drink, and he becomes a glutton and a drunkard and so forth. So the Gemara talks about how really on the Daf Samach Tesam and Aleph, Rabbi Kuspidai says it's only a 3-month period. Now, Rabbi Yishmael says, Ben below Av. It has to be during the time that he is just a son, Ben Somari, and not an Av. Somebody who's a father, which Rav Dimi explains as Ben below Haroya, the close to Av. Not somebody who could be worthy of being a father. Because Rabbi had said, this is quoted in Samach Esam Beis, the Katan is not able to sire a child. So he can only start siring a child once he started to be 13 years old. The child's not going to be born after 3 months, but it means that after 3 months, so whoever he impregnated, you're going to be able to see the signs of her pregnancy. The Gemara on Daf Ayin speaks about Ayin, the gematria of Ayin, 70. So 70 is also the gematria of Yayin, of wine. So this Gemara, this daf is all about wine. It's all about, it was not a good thing to drink too much wine. Ben Saramore gets into trouble because he steals, right? And then he uses it to buy wheat and to buy meat and to drink wine. So we have a lot, as the Gemara says, Yayin is only to provide comfort for Avelim and also to provide the schar for the wicked, but it's not a good idea for us to drink too much wine. The story of Noach, and Noach ended up having his downfall from drinking wine. Adam Arishon, he should have run from Adam Arishon, whose downfall was because he ate from the vines of the grape tree of the grape of the grapes. He ate from the grapes of the vine. We're assuming there are different opinions. The Gemara quotes as to what the fruit of the Eitz Hadas was, but it quotes to the opinion that it was grapes. And Noach should have learned that grapes are going to get you into trouble. And when I am a base has the tefillah found in Mishlei about Batsheva for her son Shlomo Melch. She was very worried about him and said that he should be very careful. Malach eats a malachim shoshim yayim shtakim ba'omim lama lanu kale, that they eat that they drink wine and they become drunk and then they lose sight of Hashem. So we see from these Gemaras that it's very, very important not to drink too much wine. You can get into a lot of trouble.
I'm confused by something. The grapes come from the geffen, yeah?
Right. They come from the vine.
Right. The vine is not the eitz. We say borik priya geffen. We don't say borik priya eitz.
Yeah, but there's one opinion that says that the eitz hadas was wheat. So you can ask the kasha, but wheat grows from the ground. So apparently in this ideal state of Gan Eden, everything's growing on trees. Okay. The Gemara in Daf Ayin Aleph says that in order for a child to become Ben Saramari, has to be Ad Sheyigna Mishal Ore V'yoka B'shusachem. The stealing has to be from his parents' house, because that is something where we're going to worry will continue because the money is available to him. V'yoka B'shusachem, he'll eat in somebody else's presence because it's less embarrassing when he's with strangers that he doesn't know. So if he's prepared to do that, we're worried that these things are going to continue. However, the Gemara says that it didn't necessarily ever happen. It didn't necessarily ever happen that a person became a Ben Saramora. There is an opinion that says in the Brisa, Ben Saramora lo hayo lo asid lios. It never happened and never will occur. Why was it then written? Laminita drosha kabo skar. So you'll be able to receive schar. According to whose opinion that we say it never happened? Either Rabbi Shimon, who says that that we need the parents have to actually bring him to the Bezdin in order for him to be stoned, and that is unlikely to happen that the parents are going to do such a thing. Or according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that we need very special parents, the parents are exactly the same in terms of their call, their mara, and their coma. Just like it says, Einenu Shomea B'Koleinu, sounds like the call, Einen Shavin, that their voices have to be the same, so too their appearance and their height have to be exactly the same. So that's very, very unlikely to happen. So according to either of these opinions, we can explain the idea, we can explain the opinion, that it's something that never happened and never will happen. But Rabbi Yonasan says, no, I saw it happen here. Aniva used to be a Shafti Akivo, and I sat on the grave. The Gemara has similar discussions about Yeron Nidachas and Beis HaMenuga as well. The Gemara on Daf in Alvin and Beis says that one way to escape capital punishment, you have a non-Jew who committed blasphemy and then he converts. So now he's parted from capital punishment because two things changed. Ishtana Dino, that he went from a state where there was no need for Hasra and there was no need for two Eidim, one Eidim is sufficient and you only needed one Dayan, and now we converted to Judaism and we have all these protocols, the Din has changed, and the Misaso. The Miso also has changed because where Ben Noach, all of their Misos are Chenek, but when he becomes Jewish, so the Misa from a guy, they become Skila. So since both things change, therefore he's off the hook. The Gemara and Daf, if both things don't change, so then he's not off the hook. The Gemara on the Daf, I mean, basically, when Daf talks of Machteris, somebody breaks into your house, he's a Baba Machteris, so then he's liable to be killed because you have to be worried that he's going to come to kill you if you try to stop him. So therefore, we say, come labor the Rav that he's not, doesn't have any monetary liability. So Rav said, therefore, if the person stole any utensils, he's potter, because b'damim k'naneu, because with his blood, he acquired the vessels. And Rav said that what Rav said makes sense if the vessels are no longer around because they were broken, but if they're around, you should probably return them. However, the truth is that Rav said his din, even if the vessels are still around. And since the Rav had some lands that were lambs that were chose, that were stolen when the person broke into his house, and when they returned to him, he said, I refuse to accept them, because after all, Rav said that the halakha is that there is no liability on a monetary level. Important din, I am based on a base, everything's important. I'm a Puda Katan Rodev Nitan Latzilu Benasho. If the Rodev, you have somebody who's running after you to kill, running after somebody else to kill, and that person is not somebody who's a Bachiyuvi, he's only a Katan, you could still stop the Katan even in terms of killing the katan. But we learn that in the case of a fetus that's coming out, that you can only kill the fetus if it's spending the mother before it comes out, but once it comes out, you can't kill the fetus anymore. So the Gemara says that case is different with respect to the fetus, because shiny hasam the mishmaya karod file. In that particular case, there's a mishnah nolos that we say is because that's mina shemayim, it's just in the natural course. But otherwise, it's not in the natural course, so then you're allowed to kill a rodent. A child who's a rodef, if necessary, to stop the child from killing somebody. Gemara in Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph has principles of number one. You see somebody is drowning, so you have an affirmative obligation to save the person. The Gemara asks we have a pasuk about shivoso. Lo, you're supposed to return a person's lost object. So the body is certainly lost object. So why do we need a pasuk to send them a lo saman al damriyachah? So that's to teach me mitzvah mega agure, that you even have to go and hire people in order to commit the act of saving, which is something that you wouldn't have to do if it was a regular aveda. Gemara on daf ayin dalam and aleph speaks about the cases of yereg ve'al yavo. What are the cases where a person has to give up their life rather than to commit the avera? So we say that it applies to three cases under all circumstances. There are dissenting views that it's under all circumstances, by Rabbi Yishmael, but we hold that it's under all circumstances that Ritzicha, Avodah Zarah, and Gidoy Arayos. These things, under all circumstances, we would say Yereg Be'al Yavor. And when it comes to other types of Averos, if it's B'shask Zeres HaMalchus, the Gemara says, one would have to give up their life even for a mitzvah kala. What would be a mitzvah kala, even like changing your shoelaces? And if it's not B'shask Zeres Malchus, and it's not one of the big three, if it's B'farhesya, in front of the 10 Yisraelim, one would have to give up his life. But the Gemara in Daf Ayin Dalem and Bey says that's only if it's Lahavel Adas. It's only if they want the person to do the avera in order to betray the religion, but hanas atzman shiny. But if it's only for their own hana, so then that principle of beferhesya of yerag val yava would not be applicable. I mentioned the shita of Rabbi Yishmael. How does Rabbi Yishmael disagree? Rabbi Yishmael says that even with respect to avodas kochavim, a person would not have to give up their life unless it was beferhesya. But we don't paskin that way. Okay, the Gemara in Daf Ayin Hay says that there was a man who was pining for a certain woman. He desperately wanted to be with a woman. His doctor said if he's not going to be able to have relations with a woman, then he's going to die. And the Chachamim said, let him die and not be with a woman. He said, then the doctor said, but even if he just is able to have a conversation with her from behind the wall, that'll be okay. The doctor said, and the Rabbanim said, nothing doing. So what type of a woman were we talking about? So one opinion says she was an Ashes Ish, and the other opinion says she was a Penuya. We understand she was an Ashes Ish, that we would, Penuya means a single woman, an unmarried woman. Ashes Ish, she was a married woman. We understand the Kohen was so machmir. Why are they so machmir? She was an unmarried woman. So different explanations. One explanation is because Pagam Mishpacha, that we shouldn't harm her, Shidduchim and her family's reputation. And then the other explanation is Kadesh Lo Yubinosi Saw Putzis Barayas, so that the Yubinosi Saw should not be promiscuous. The Gemara, the Mishnah, and Dafa, the beginning of the next paragraph, and Nisrofin talks about for what offenses is a person chayav sereifa. So if they have relations with a daughter, if they have relations with their mother-in-law, right? So those are cases where a person would receive a sereifa, or as we mentioned, a bas kohen shezinsa, the daughter of a kohen who commits adultery. Different opinions whether this is only when she's in a suah or even when she's in a rusa, according to Rabbi Shimon, or only when she's in a rusa, not when she's in a suah, according to Rabbi Yishmael. Different opinions as to when that would be applicable. How do we know that in all these cases would be sereifa? So we have a pasuk in which it says explicitly, a person has relations with the mother-in-law, it says she gets sereifa. Pasuk in Vayikra, Isha she kakas isha v'sijmar zima hiba ishi sifu osel v'yased lo siyeh zima b'sochechem. But how do we know that it applies to daughter and granddaughter? So we learn because it says in this pasuk zima, and it says in the pasuk about a person who marries a woman and she has a daughter or granddaughters. So that is also considered to be zima. So we know that those are sreifa. What if it's not the daughter or granddaughter of the woman he marries, but a woman that he rapes, of some other woman that he wasn't married to? So how do we know that it's sreifa in that case? Because it says there the word hena. Evas bas bincha bas bitcha talks about his granddaughters from this woman that he's wasn't married to. That he has lo segale evas son ki evas ka hena. He's not allowed to have relations with them because they are evas ka hena. It says hena here, and it says hena with respect to his wife's daughter and granddaughters. And in that pasuk it said zima as well. And since in the pasuk with respect to the mother-in-law it said zima as well, so asya hena hena asya zima zima. Therefore, we make a connection between all three psukim, and we say that even with respect to the granddaughters from a woman he wasn't married to, that he had, if he has relations with them, the punishment will be slave. But what if it's a daughter from the woman who was his anusa, that he wasn't married to? It doesn't say daughter. It just says in that pasuk, bas bitcha o bas bitcha. So how do we know daughter as well? So the Gemara in Daf Ayin Vav Min Aleph says that kal v'chomer bas bitcha no shal bitcha lo koshken. If he gets the punishment for his granddaughter, certainly he gets it for his daughter. So the Gemara says, we don't make a kal v'chomer. v'chomer is give a person punishments. So God says, that's not a kal v'chomer. They're deriving a daughter from a granddaughter is gilui milsa be'almai. It's something, be'almahu, it's just considered to be something which is automatic. It's not in the realm of a kal v'chomer. Okay, the Gemara...
What do you mean, what makes it automatic, though?
Because it just is sort of included that if it would be true with respect to the granddaughter, what
that
gives the granddaughter...
Like
what gives the granddaughter this, their connection to him? What gives the granddaughter the connection is that they come from the... Is that they come from the... They come from the daughter. It would be impossible, okay? The Einza... Rashi says, I'll read you Rashi's words. The Einza... And you'll take it out with Rashi. Einza onesh min adin, da'bas bitom mikorva debito idasi. It comes from the relation of the daughter. The granddaughter wouldn't be there if not for the fact that it came from the daughter. Okay, so therefore he says, so that's not even a question. Okay, so now the Gemara on Daf Ayin Bavam Beis talks about murder. Murder they wrote, right? Talks about Eluin and Aragon. Harotseach.
She wrote it.
So, yeah, but here they wrote it, right? So Harotseach, that the person who's a murderer, that's a classic case where they get where a person gets hereg, they get the punishment of death by the sword. So what's included in murder? So it says Obeiva. That's Obeiva teaches me what Levavos says. Sometimes I mean, if you just restrain somebody causing their death, that will be included in the capital punishment for murder. Daf Ayin Zayinam and Aleph says that if you put some Rava says if you put somebody out in the sun and then you tie them up in the sun and they die, that's outright murder. Let's say you tie them up, but the sun is going to only come out later. It's only going to get cold later. And sof chama lovo, sof tzina lovo, putter. So the person is exempt from capital punishment, but they still did an aveir. Rashi says, v'ein dinu masu lebezen ala shemayim. They still are guilty in the eyes of shemayim. We just can't put them to death from the bezdin itself. We say that if, let's say, a person shot an arrow at somebody and there is a tonic, there is some sort of a remedy that they would be able to take in order to be rescued, but they don't choose to avail themselves of that remedy. So is the person who shot the arrow guilty or not? So Rav Acha Brei Rav Ravashi asks, "Din was the low simani mal? Are they guilty or not?" So Rav Ashi answered, "I'm leh reyotzim based in Zakai. No, since there was a tonic, so then the person is exempted on that basis." Rav Nayin Simon basis is a very important principle with respect to murder. Honey, me the b'kach rishon b'kach sheni. If, for example, a person takes somebody putting them next to a wall, which is right next to a river, then they open up the hole so that the water comes bursting forth and drowns the individual. If in the first gush, the koach rishon drowns the individual, then the perpetrator is chayav misa. But if it's a later gush, it's a koach sheni, so then they're not chayav misa. The Gemara Ein Chesam Balef talks about, let's say you have murder on the Orient Express, if I'm getting it right. You have a bunch of people who level the blow to somebody. They're all stabbing the individual. Now, Hiku Asara B'nei Adam, 10 different people. So let's say, who is guilty? We say that the 10th one, who is the one who levels the fatal blow, are they guilty or not? So the Tanakhama says, everybody is part of it. Yehuda ben Achon ben Maseir says, no, the Achon is Chayav. The last one is the one who is Chayav B'nei Shekirev as Misa. So this is a question. That's what because the person is basically dying anyway from the first 9 blows. That's called a goseis bidei adam. Everybody agrees that if you kill a treifa, that you'll be putter. But if the person who is physiologically going to die, if they were goseis bidei shemayim, if they were considered to be goseis bidei shemayim, they had a critical illness, but they weren't, and it wasn't a physiological defect, then you would be chayev. So they're arguing about goseis bidei adam, that the person is has been wounded critically, but they're not a treifa, and they've been wounded by human beings, so then somebody else levels the final blow, so the person would have died anyway. Are you chayev or you pater? That's the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira is mechayev. Okay, andaf ayin tes amun aleph. We have machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakama is of the opinion that if you intend to kill Reuven and you end up killing Shimon, so then you'd be chayev. Rabbi Shimon says if you intend to kill Reuven and you end up killing Shimon, so then you would be pater. However, he would be of the... So how do you understand the pasuk that indicates v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, where the Torah speaks about the two men are fighting with each other, yichi natsu anashim natfu isha hara, v'mason yeh v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, he ends up killing the pregnant wife of one of them, So in such a case, it sounds like there is capital punishment. So Rabbi Shimon would have to be of the opinion that he holds like Rabbi, who says, no, that means mamon, that you have to be, pay money, but you're not, it's not capital punishment. The Gemara in Ayin Tes Amos quotes a third sheet of Tanaim Chizkiya that says that you're not even chayav mamon either. That if a killing takes place, even if there's an exemption from being put to death for the killing, you never ever have to pay money, because we always apply sort of a sweeping application of kamalei b'drabamine whenever somebody has been killed. We have here that andafa pei amun aleph, that Rava states an interpretation of some line in the Mishnah, that if I have two people who were standing and there was an arrow that was shot from them, we don't know who shot the arrow, but Shnei and Peturim, both of them are off the hook. If we can't determine who shot the arrow, Yosef, even if one of them was Abba Chalafta, we know Abba Chalafta would never shoot an arrow to kill anybody. Even the last person in the world to do it, it doesn't matter. If we don't know who shot the arrow, so both of them are off the hook. That pay Aleph from an Aleph. Says that if a person was chayev two different misos bezdin, they did two different offenses, which the chayev two different misos, which one do they get? They get b'chamura, they get the more severe one. Let's say it's only one aveira that they did, but the one aveira, it's like it was an aishus ish who also happened to be your mother-in-law. So which misa do you get? So the Tanakhama says you get the more severe one, and Rabbi Yossi says you get the one that was the first one that caused the person to be usher to you. So what was an application for that? So for example, there was a woman who was originally your mother-in-law, and then afterwards she got married. So for a mother-in-law, you get sreifa. For a married woman, you get chenek. So in this case, you get the sreifa because that one came first. Let's say she was first married, and then she became your mother-in-law, so then you would get the chenek. Okay, so those are the applications that the Gemara gives for this principle. The Gemara pay out on base looks like kippah, not the type that you wear on your head. No. Kippah, which was this small little cramped space where they would put people, if they couldn't otherwise put them to death, but they deserved to be put into death, they would serve them sa'orin, barley, ashkresim, and sfakas, until their belly would burst. What type of case would warrant placing somebody in kippah? It would be somebody who was received a malkio shokares three different times, that they, shokares achas, they violated the same issa malkos, but they didn't have the requisite hasra for misa, only hasra for malkos. So if they receive malkos, but they did it three times, therefore we put them in kippah. Another example the Gemara gives later on in the daf is somebody who committed murder and somehow they got off the hook, like in the case of Ben Zakkai, they got off the hook because the witnesses contradicted themselves about whether the figs in the fig tree that was next to where the murder took place had large stems or had small stems. So we said that the person gets off the hook. So Gemara here says, doesn't mean they get off the hook entirely. We still put them in the kippah. They just don't get the normal death penalty. Very interesting. That pay based on mouth talks about having getting
the first time the person.
Yes.
Something?
Yes. Yeah. If it's murder. So Gemara pay based on an aleph says that if you have relations with a non-Jewish woman, like you get. So what's the punishment? So we say kanoim pogimbo, right? Like in the case of Pinchas, the person is publicly involved in having relations with somebody who is an idolater. So the halakha was that you put them to death. Let's say that they weren't put to death by a zealot, kanoim pogimbo. So what's the halakha? So they get kares midive kabbalah. That's what the Gemara says, based on a pasuk in Malachi, ubabas el nechar, right? It says yikares Hashem leisha sheyasena er veona, that they get kares midive, they get kares pasuk in the Navi. So it's considered to be kares midive kabbalah. Then the Gemara has a long discussion about Pinchas putting to death the Zimri ben Salo when he was having relations with Cosby Bas-Tzur. That he stood up from the Eda. He had gone to the base Medrash to discuss the din, and he's the one who came up with it. So we say Krani Digati Yula Havi Pravanka, he's the one who remembered the din, therefore he should carry it out. And then after he left the base Medrash, he took up a spear. So we learn from here, Mikashen Ignasim plays on the base Medrash. So you shouldn't bring your weapons into the base Medrash. Ah. You want to bring your weapons of learning Torah, that's fine. But things like swords and guns, leave out of the base Medrash. He picked up the spear afterwards. So Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. What if I have a Kohen that is Shimesh, okay? What does that mean? He is a Shimesh Betuma, that he does a Boda, but he was Tame. So what kind of punishment does he get? So the Gemara asked the question on Pei Beis Amud Beis, is he Chayim Misa B'dei Shemayim or not? We come to the conclusion, yes, because he's listed among those. Ve'elu Ein Shem Misa Tame Shishimesh. If I have a Kohen, he was Tame and he did Shimesh Reveis HaMikdash. What if I have a Kohen that he ate trees that he was tummy and he ate truma tahora. So then he gets misa b'day shemayim. What if the truma was tamea? So he wasn't mechal of the truma because the truma was tamea anyway. So he's saying in such a case he would not get misa b'day shemayim because he only gets misa when it says umesu bo ki yichalu when he is mechal. But here he was not part lezu she mechuleles ve'omedes. The Gemara on that pei dalet amud aleph talks about a zar shishimes beveis hamikdash. I have a zar. I have somebody who's a non kohen and he does avoda. What is his punishment? So it according to one opinion. He gets the punishment of Misa B'day Shemayim. Why? Because it says V'azar HaKarev Yumas. And it says with respect to those who are going to go into the Mishkan Hashem, when they're not allowed to go into the Mishkan Hashem, that they get Misa B'day Shemayim. It says Kol HaKarev HaKarev El Mishkan Hashem Yamus. So just like that's Misa B'day Shemayim, so too is this. But there it said Yamus, and here it said Yumas. So Rabbi Kiva says, I'm not going to learn from that. I'm going to learn from the pasuk of the Navi Sheker, okay, who where it says, with respect to the Navi Sheker, it says, you must, when he tried to entice people to worship Avodah Zarah. So there we have the actual word, you must. And there it's Beskila, so too over here it's Beskila. And others say, no, because there's an opinion that over there it's not Beskila, it's actually Bechenek. Therefore, we have three opinions with respect to Azar Shishimesh, whether it's Mitavei Shemayim, or whether it is Skila, or whether it is Chedek. Three different opinions. The Gemara on Pei Dalem and Beis talks about the Nechnokin, the Mishnah. Perek talks about Eloen and Nechnokin. What's the case of Chenek, a strangulation? Classic case, Amaka Avimo, somebody who whacks his father or mother, or he performs kidnapping, or a Zokin Mami, or a Navi Sheker, or a Baal Eishesish, if you have a married Nesua woman. So all of these things are Chenek. Torah has an important principle. Mikol Misamur, but Torah Stam in El Chenek. If it just says Yimas and the Torah, and it doesn't specify otherwise, so then the punishment is Chenek. Question him, hey Amanal. Is a Ben allowed to be an agent for his father in order to administer punishment on behalf of the Beis Din, to give him Malkus and so forth, or to put him in Chayim, the Kalalo? So the Rav Sheshes said, well, we were normally not allowed to hit anybody. There's a prohibition of Lo Yosef, Pen Yosef, El Kavod Shemayim Adip, but you're doing it for the sake of parents, so Okanami Kavod Shemayim Adip. But the Gemara comes to the conclusion that's not the case. It says, Rabbi Bafuna, that the Chol Eina Ben Nasa Shliach La'avi La'kos La'kalo, that we did not allow, the Gemara Pei Dalem Beis said similarly, the Rav would not allow his son to take a thorn or splinter out of his body, so he said, but we allow other people to do it. So the difference is, with other people, it's a Shigigas Lav. If they make a mistake, it's only a mistake on a regular Lav Makos prohibition, but with respect to one son, it would be a Chenek prohibition, so therefore, we treat that more severely. The Mishnah on Pei Hamun Beis talks about kidnapping. Rabbi Yehuda says that you only chaya for the kidnapping, the chenek, that you have to actually do service. You have to use the person to do work on your behalf in order to be chaya for kidnapping. Is the Tanakhama disagree? Tanakhama also agrees. It says that you have to actually utilize the person's services after you kidnap them. So the Machloka says, the Gemara is, do you need to do work that's worth a Shavaputa? So Rabbi Yehuda would seem to indicate that you would have to do work which is worth a shavuta as opposed to the Tanakhama. It says, "V'nimsa v'yodamos yumas." He has to be in your hands, indicating that it's not somebody who would normally be found in your hands. So says the Gemara, interesting principle, mikri dariki. If it's a school teacher who kidnaps the child, so it's the child is always in the hands of the school teacher anyway, so therefore he would be putter. If he did this type of kidnapping, he would be putter because it's not like he's taking him out of his normal rishus. Gemara records the machlokas between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan as to whether when we have Edim who testify whether the Edim would be Chayev if they become Edim Zomimim. So do we say if they only testified about a chatzidov, about half of what is necessary, so do they get the punishment or not? Chizkiya says, we hold like Rabbi Akiva, it says that dover v'lo chatzidover, that the pasuk says, lo yakum eid achad b'ish, al pish eidim yakum dover, and you're dover, I need the thing, the whole thing, and nothing but the thing, it has to be a full thing. While according to the chacham, Chachamim, even a chatzi dove you'd be chayef for? What are what's the manifestation of this? On Bavim base, I'm a bay. Hakom odim ben soam amore. Hakom odim ben soam amore. Everybody agrees about ben soam amore. Everybody agrees about ben soam amore. Machlokus ben soam amore, and they disagree about ben soam amore. What is that talking about? If it's the Edom Rishon, the first people who are machayef when the ben soam from over first gets the malchus before he's repeated, he's become a recidivist and he's put to death. So there you get malchus. So the first Edom can say we came along to give him malchus, even if as a result two Edom came along later and said that he stole again and he drank the wine and ate the meat and now he's going to be put to death. We weren't bringing him for that punishment, so therefore we shouldn't get that punishment if we were found to be Edom Zomim. But if it's the Edom Achronim, so the Edom Achronim really they stand alone in terms of being Mechayiv and Misa. If they're Edom Zomim, everybody agrees they'd be Nerogim. What is the Machlokus about? The Machlokus would be about when it's the final set of Edom and that we and I have two separate sets of Edom. Two Edom say that he stole and two Edom say that he ate what he stole. So each one is testifying about a Chatzi Dover, according to Chitzkiya, that the Chatzi Dover is not good enough, they wouldn't be put to death. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's like the Chachamim, that even Chatzi Dover, they would be put to death. Okay, that was a mouthful. Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. We're talking about the Zokin Mamre. So three different opinions about when is the Zokin Mamre Chayef. Rabbi Maya Meir says, only if Zaki Mamre had given a hurrah, had given instructions. Zaki Mamre is a rebellious elder who decides to defy the ruling of the Sanhedrin, and he gives instruction which is contrary to that of the Sanhedrin. That he went to the Sanhedrin and in front of the entire Sanhedrin, and they said, you're wrong. And he said, okay, I'm still going to teach people and instruct people the way that I have learned the halakha myself. So Zaki Mamre is only chayav al-adosh, it's done. A karis is something that brings about karis, she goes to katas, and if it was done mishogig, there would be a call mechadis. That's Rabbi Mayor. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Darashi karmi divrei Torah, perushim divrei sofim." Something that has a Torah component and a Rabbanan component. Rabbi Shimon says, "Even if it's a dikto gekon mi divrei sofim." So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Mayor, we try to understand that all the different scenarios of Zokin Mamre can fall into his category of Zdona Karis and Shigaso Chatas. We speak about Benega, Bendam Adam, right, and Bendin Ladim, Benega Lenega. How all the different things would play out according to Rabbi Mayor. So, for example, if you take a look at Peches Samanav, we have the example of, let's say that the argument is with respect to Egla Arufa, right? We said that an Egla Arufa would be a situation where they're arguing about, for example, the machlokus of when I measure a corpse that's found between two cities, which city is going to be obligated to bring the Egla Arufa? One opinion says we measure from the belly button of the corpse, another says Michomo from the nose, another opinion says Mitzavaro from his neck. So if the Bezok and Mame ruled a particular way, it could be that the Egla Rufa would not have been a real Egla Rufa. And then, if somebody would take that Egla Rufa and give it to a woman and say, Harei Amakudeshishli, I'm marrying you with this Egla Rufa. So according to one opinion, the Egla Rufa is not worth anything, right? Because it's also Bahanah. And according to the other opinion, it's not a real Egla Rufa. So therefore, it's really his money. And therefore, she would be Mekudeshis, and that would have a Nafkamina in terms of Kiyuvei Karis. Somebody would have relations with her and so forth. So all of the different cases are explained in this fashion of how we can fit everything according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Interesting halacha on the bottom of Peches and Aleph. Rabbi Yoshi said, "Shoshu don't suck these zivim ayanshe yushalim." Zivim 23 halachos. Bal shemachah kinuim 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 makel. When it comes to sota, if I have a father, if I have a husband who says that he's going to be mokel on the fact that he was mekani his wife not to be together with somebody, so then it's mokel. She doesn't have to become a sota. Ben so amore. That the parents want to be mokel, they can be mokel. He said, "Azakim mami shorts the bezdin al mokel mokelim bo." Azakim mami rebellious elder. The elder, the bezdin wants to be mokel on their covenant and say, "Don't put him to death." They can be mokel. But then he says, "When I came to my chaverai." They would not agree with me with respect to Zokin Mami. Zokin Mami must be put to death if he defies the Bezdin and Kadesh Yibu Machlokas B'Yisrael in order not to increase Machlokas B'Yisrael. And this would support the opinion of the Gemara over here that says that even in a case where he is arguing in a fashion where he says Mipia Shmua. That I heard this from Chachamim, and they say we heard it Mipia Shmua. That he would still be put to death, or he said, this is my svara, and they say, well, this is our svara, he would still be put to death, and according to Rav Kahana, the only time that he's put to death is when he says that says something, well, this is my svara, and they say, well, we have an actual tradition, but we hold like Rabbi Elazar, who says that even if he says it only through tradition, and that he has an actual tradition, according to what he's saying, and they just say that they have a svara, he's still put to death, because we have this svara of Kedesh Lo Yibbe, Machlokes Be Yisrael. Da Pei Tes. This is the last daf before we get to the Agadata, okay? And this daf gives us the three different cases where a Navi Sheker, a false prophet, is put to death, gets chenek. The three cases are where he prophesies about what he did not hear, or he prophesies about what he was not told to him, and he prophesies about and he says a false prophecy. But if I have the case of Kovesh Nevuah, where he's withholding a Nevuah, or where he refuses to follow Nevuah of another Navi, or he doesn't follow his own Nevuah, so then the Misa is Bidei Shemayim. So the Gemara gives different examples of all of these different cases. I think I left out one. When the case of Misa Bidei Adam, is he said something he didn't hear, or was not said to him, but was said to a different Navi, or he's Misnavi B'Shem Avodas Kochavim, that he said that they prophesied him in the name of Avodas Kochavim. So those are the cases of Misa B'Shem Bidei Adam. So the Gemara here gives us a nice review of different cases in Navi that you might not necessarily otherwise learn if you don't learn Navi on a regular basis. It's like, for example, somebody who said a prophecy about what he didn't hear at all, he just kind of made it up. It's a Sidkiah ben Kenana. Sidkiah ben Kenana thought that he understood a prophecy about how Achav is going to be able to be victorious in battle, but really it was not a true Nebuah that he had received, and therefore he falls into the first category of prophesying about something which he did not hear at all. And the Gemara then gives lots of different other examples of prophets who did things or said things in the course of Tanakh that falls into one of the six categories that we mentioned. Now, this brings us, let's see what time we have. It is now, we have about 4 minutes before we hit the 2-hour mark. So should we start the last parak? What do we say?
It's fine with me.
Okay, no, everybody's nodding, so we're going to go for it. Okay, so the last parak, which is Koyso Yesh Amchalak Chedek Olam Haba. So we're told that these are the people who don't receive a Chedek Olam Haba. If you say that ain't Tchias Amesim in the Torah, that there is no Tchias Amesim that can be found as a pasuk in the Torah itself. So why is it that such a person doesn't receive Chedek Olam Haba? Because it's Mida Keneged Mida, says the Gemara, that they're denying Tchias Amesim, so therefore they get Mida Keneged Mida, that they don't receive the benefit of Tchias Amesim. The Gemara gives all kinds of proofs from the Torah itself of Tchias Amesim min HaTorah. Like, for example, it says they're going to give Truma Hashem Li'Aaron a Kohen in the future. But Aaron's not going to live forever, so that shows that there's going to be Tchias Amesim. Or it says in Chashokim Ma'osecha V'kam Ha'am Hazeh, that you're going to sleep with your fathers, V'kam, and then you're going to rise eventually. One way of reading the pasuk, so all kinds of different ways in which we show that the pasukim demonstrate that there is Tchias Amesim from the Torah. Cleopatra, the queen, asked Rabbi Meir, says that I know that the living people die, but how do we know? And I also know, she says, that the people, I'm sorry, I know that the people who die are going to live. She accepted that that there's a pasuk that indicates as much in Tehillim, that it says that by Yatzitzu, Meir Ke'esiv Ha'aretz, but she says, when the people are going to be resuscitated, will they be naked or will they be wearing their clothes? So he says, it's a Kavachoma from Akita. Akita, when I bury the seed, so it's Arum, but when it comes out, it's all dressed in all kinds of stalks and so forth. So tzaddikim who are buried in their shrouds, they already have the clothes, so how much more so when they're going to be resuscitated, that they are going to be wearing clothing. The Gemara in Sadi Aleph has all the cases where Gevi'ah ben Pasiso is like the lawyer on behalf of the Jewish people, how he emerged victorious in various lawsuits in the days of Alexander the Great against different nations, against, for example, the Bnei Africa, who came from Canaan, and they said, Eretz Canaan Gvulosea, the land of Israel is ours. So he said, no, because it says, Arur Canaan Eved Avadim Yele Akav, they became our servants, so therefore, if someone becomes a servant, so all of his possessions go to the master. And then Mitzrayim came along, and they said, it says that Bnei Yisrael borrowed the Kesef and the Zav and the Smolos from the Mitzrayim, so we want them all back. So he said, well, if you want that back, we want our wages for having been there from working for 430 years, as is recorded in the Torah. You're going to bring a rifle? I'm going to bring a rifle from the Torah. And then the third case, the Bnei Yishmael came, and they said, the Eretz Canaan belongs to us, because it says, Ve'ela told us Yishmael ben Avraham. So he said that no, because when Abraham gave it with his Yerusha, he only gave it to Yitzchak. He said, "But when he acquits himself by just giving matanos to a child, the child doesn't have any more claims against the father." So he defeated all of these different nations in argument. Okay, so the Gemara on Daf Chasadi base an Aleph says that you're not allowed to rakam him on somebody who doesn't have any das. You do favors to people who have no das, they have no appreciation, it's not going to work out well. So it's not a very good idea.
How are you defending this animal das?
It says she'ein bo das, that they have no sensibilities. They have no postures, I would say, that they have no proper appreciation.
Ketanim are considered as not having das, so we shouldn't do any chesed for them.
Well, they have the potential for das in the future. He's talking about people who have no appreciation. Okay, so that's pashtus. So then the Gemara says Tana Debe Elio, that the Debe Elio says that Shadikim shall say Kosh Baruch Hu Lachios and Kosh in the forward. The Shadikim shall be brought back alive. They will not go back to dust afterwards. Then the Gemara tells about the dry bones that were revived by Yechezkel, right? And the Gemara says that when Nebuchadnezzar of Russia hurled Chananim Shav Azariah in the days of Daniel into the Kirshan Eish, that was the same time Yechezkel was reviving the dry bones, and the dry bones had turned into the tea kettles and the cups and all of the other Beauty and the Beast articles in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. So Boaz Samas, the typical Lo Le'asa Rasha, so they all revived and they started punching out Nebuchadnezzar. So it says Nebuchadnezzar was very impressed. He was very impressed about that. So the Gemara inside Daf Tzadi Gimel says that what happened? The Chananim Shav Azariah, after they were saved from the Kivshan Ha'esh, what happened to them? So according to Rav, they died in Ayin Hara. Shmuel says that they died Baruch, and that the nations of the world were like spitting at the Jewish people, said that you have such a God that rescues the people who are loyal to him from the Kivshan Ha'esh, and you weren't worshipping him properly, so they spit so much that the they drowned in the spit, whatever that means. That's what Gemara says. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, they lived nicely, lived happily ever after. They moved to Eretz Yisrael, they married women, and they had children, ubanos, they had sons and daughters, and everything was very nice. Okay, so the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Dalet. Gemara on Daf Tzadi Dalet says that Chizkiyahu had a grand opportunity when he defeated Sanherib. So it says, Lemabe Amisro, Lashalom and Kates, but the word Lemabe is written with a mem that is sasum, even though it's in the middle of the word. Why is that? Because Chizkiyahu, had he said, Shiros and Sishbachos, in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it says, would have made him the Mashiach. The Midas Adin said to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can't make him Mashiach, because he didn't say, the David HaMelech always said, Shiros and Sishbachos. But Chizkiyahu, Shasislo Kornisim Lavo, I'm a Shiro Lefanechata, say, O Mashiach, how can you make him the Mashiach? So Nistatim, so this desire to make him Mashiach was closed up because he didn't say proper Shira. So we see the importance of saying proper Shira, right?
Doesn't the Shira has to be something that you doesn't, you know, we saw this week. It's got to be something you feel, right?
Yeah, so we should have.
If you don't feel it, how can you do it?
It's something you're supposed to feel. It's a tremendous miracle. The Gemara says that had Chizkiyahu known he would defeat Sanherib, he still wouldn't have won in the challenge. So Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to tell him about it because it was such a difficult battle to have to wage he would have said Lohubina Vlobi Asusebina. He would have said I don't want to have to undergo that fear, because it was such a fearsome encounter that Chizkiyahu had to deal with the battle of Sanherib. Okay, so we're told on Daf Tzadi Hey that the day of the battle of Sancheirev was really the day in which Bnei Yisrael would have been punished for the Avona Shonov, that the Neonovi Arkohanim was massacred by Shaul because they provided refuge for David HaMelech, and Doeg Hedomi had spoken Lashon Hara to report that to Shaul. It was a terrible, terrible incident, and had Sancheirev not waited until the next day, he was tired, whatever, he wanted to wait till the next day, he could have really defeated Bnei Yisrael, but he waited until the next day. So I'm a papa, that if you wait too long, so then you lose the opportunity. So that's what happened with respect to Sancheirib. David HaMelech was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to have to provide atonement for this sin. Either you can suffer the punishment yourself or your children. So he originally took it upon himself, and then Avishai ben Tzruya said, no, you shouldn't have done that. It's better that you should rescue yourself and let your children sell gourds in the marketplace. That it should have been, you should have taken upon your children and not upon yourself. And it tells about this whole battle that David had to wage with Yishbi, who is the brother of Galyas, and Avishai ben Tsruya heard about it and he rushed to David's rescue. A very, very interesting story. They were able to defeat Yishbi. Okay, and had there not be any remnants of survivors from the massacre of Nir Nofa Kohanim, so then that could have been very bad to our future as well. Had there not been Avyasar left over to the Achimelech ben Achitov from Nir Nofa Kohanim, so then it could have been that everybody in punishment would have had to wipe out, because they had survivors, so we were able to have survivors as well. Gemara elaborates upon how Gabriel came in order to administer the punishment to Sancheirib, so that Chizkiah was able to overcome Sancheirib. The Gemara on Daf Tzadivav says that Nebuchadnezzar had heard that Chizkiah HaMelech had been cured from his illness by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he said, wow, that's such an amazing thing that he has such of a savior in the guard of the Jewish people, that Belshazzar, the king, was very, very impressed by this. So he wanted to send a message to Chizkiah, and he sent him a message, and he said, Shalom Lamalka Chizkiah, Shalom Lekata Yerushalayim, Shalom Elkar Rabba, that I'm going to give Shalom to you, Chizkiah, to Yerushalayim, and to your God. But he mentioned the God first, last. So Nebuchadnezzar was in Evan. He was a minister of Belshazzar at the time, and he said, no, you should mention God first. So he started running after the letter carrier. He ran 4 amos. For that 4 amos, he had tremendous sechuyas. Had he ran more, the sechuyas may have been so great that we never would have been able to overcome him. So the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Bavim and Beis talks about Nebuzaradan, who was sent to be the general to defeat the Jewish people, and he was so impressed that it was so easy for him. So he was told, don't be so excited about it. Nafka Basko Amalei Amat Ketila Katlas. They were already had been they had a punishment decreed against them. So it was already as you killed the people that had already been killed. Hekla Kalya Kalyas. You burned a sanctuary that had already been burnt in judgment. Kimcha Tachinas. And you had already crushed a flour. You crushed flour that had already been crushed. Then he saw the bubbling blood of Zechariah, who was the Kohen Menavi, had been slaughtered by his own people. And he tried to find out what happened. At first, the people didn't want to tell him the truth. He said it was from animals that had been slaughtered. But then he slaughtered animals, so the blood was different. And he ended up slaughtering lots of children, lots of people, until finally they told him what had happened. And he realized that this was such a demonstration of the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was overwhelmed with what his own punishment would be, so he converted to Judaism. Daf Tzadi Zayin says that talks about what is the door, the generation that Ben David, that Moshe David HaMelech is going to come, what's going to be the requirements of that door. So there are different descriptions of what the characteristics of the door are going to be. One description is it's going to be a door in which the Tamidei Chachamim spot, there won't be too many Tamidei Chachamim, some say a door in which the youngsters will be Abinu Pnei Zekenim, will embarrass the Zekenim. Different characteristics. Rav Ketina says she's Alfa Shani Havu Amav Chal Chorob, that the way in which the world will exist is 6,000 years. It'll be around, and 1,000 years it's going to be destroyed before the Mashiach comes. This is Hashem Levado Bayom Mahu. There are three things that come to Hesek Adas when you don't at least expect it. One is Mashiach, one is a Metzia, lost object, and one is an Akrav, a scorpion. Watch out for those scorpions, but you know, you never know when they're going to come. Famous statement on Sadi Zion and Beis. I'm Shua Banachim Eni, I'm Rabbi Yonasan, Tepak Asman Shemachash Kitzen, that the bones of those who try to calculate when Mashiach will come should rot. Sheyomim, but why is that? Sheyomim, Kimon Shagia, Esakes, Loba, Shuenoba, because they would say that if the moment they calculate it arrives, the Mashiach does come, he's not going to come anymore. Chakelo, but rather you should wait for him. Shinema Imis Mamea Chakelo. So this might be a justification of those who calculate the kitzim, but they were saying if it doesn't come at that time, it will still come at a later time. These are all potential times, so maybe that's a potential justification. Machlokes Rabbi Elias and Rabbi Yeshua, whether it's only when the Jews are going to do tshuva that Mashiach will come, and if not, they'll never be redeemed. So Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Well, we're promised that we're going to be redeemed. If we don't do tshuva, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make things so difficult that it will be inevitable that we'll be to do tshuva, so that we'll merit for the Mashiach to come. Dafa Tzadiches says that there was a conversation. First, it was a pasuk. Beita Achishena. Pasuk says that he'll come. Beita at his right time. Achishena may be rushed. Which one is it? Zachu achishenav, that if we are zoke, he'll come right away, lo zachu, but if not, b'itzer lo and be at the eventual time. Similarly, that's the way that we tie shtu p'sakim ba'oimana nishmaya, he'll come flying through the crowds, flying clouds, right, flying carpets. And the other pasuk says, anivachi v'chama, he'll come as a poor person on a donkey. Which is it? Zachu ba'oimana nishmaya, if we're zoke, he'll come flying through the crowd, clouds. Lo zachu, if we don't merit it, anivachi v'chama, then he'll just be a poor person riding on a donkey. And there was a conversation of Yeshua ben Levi. Came across Eliyahu HaNavi, and he said, "Leima Sasimar." He said, "When are you going to?" Oh, he was shown where Mashiach was, and he said, "When are you coming?" And he said, "Hayom, I'm coming today." So he came to Eliyahu HaNavi. He asked, "What did?" So he said, "Shikui Kashakabi." He said, "He lied to me." The Amali Hayom Asina. Veloasa, he said he's going to come today, and he's not coming today. So Amalei Alei, so Eliyahu Navi explained, Hakei Amalacha Yom Kol Tishmo, explained that no, he meant he will come today if you follow the voice of God and you do what you're supposed, the mitzvahs that you're supposed to do. So then Eliyahu Navi will come today. Very important for all of us to bear in mind. Tzadikas Amabes tells us that Rav Gidol said, Asini Yisod Ha'akli Shnei Mashiach. Eventually, we'll be able to enjoy the days of Mashiach. So Rav Sel Yosef says, well, of course we'll enjoy the days of Mashiach. Shita Avdalcha Be'ela Manachilu. Who's going to be able to enjoy the days of Mashiach? Not us. Chilek Ubilek, Chilek Ubilek. Just two, you know, fictional characters from some sort of, you know, other dimension. Obviously, we're going to eat it. So we say, no, Lafukim in the Rabbi Hillel. Meant that there was Rabbi Hillel, said Mashiach, that we already came, and he's not coming anymore. So this is to show that we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Hillel. So that's a very, very, very surprising thing, because Rabbi Hillel says like this: We already enjoyed whatever we were going to get from Mashiach in the days of Chizkiyah. Some of Yosef. This is Sadi Tesav and Aleph. Sharei Le'Mari LeRabbi Rabbi Hillel. Rabbi Hillel lost his mind. Because Chizkiyah, Amos, Havah, when was Chizkiyah? It was Revayah Swish in the first place. And Zechariah, Bidun Chizkiyah Kamisnami, Revayah Sheni, and Zechariah is telling us that Mashiach is going to come. We have a pasuk in Zechariah, Gidli Ma'od Basion, that says that Mashiach is going to come. That's already Revayah Sheni. So obviously, Mashiach is yet to come. Very important to say, bottom of Tzadiyano, Tzadites of Ralph, we're talking in the Mishnah about those who don't have a place in the world to come. So we speak about those who are not Apikoros. So the Gemara says, Afilo, the Kidora Hashem Bazah, Afilo Amako Torakum, and Shemayim, somebody says, the entire Torah is from heaven. Chusmi pasuk zeh, except for one particular pasuk. Shalom Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe b'pi Atzmo zekidav Hashem bizah. That if a person says the entire Torah came from Hashem, except for one pasuk, then I don't think this could have come from Hashem. So that is a violation of the pasuk that says ki davar Hashem bizah. That is considered to be apikorsis. You have to accept the entire Torah as coming from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Lauren Tzadi Teslam and Bey says, Adam Lamo Yulad, Pasuk that says that a person is created to do work. What type of work? That's a Pasuk in Eob. So since it says, L'yomash Sefer Torah Zemi Picha, Ve'omen La'amil Torah Niva, that we were created in order to be engaged in Amelus in Torah. We speak about how you shouldn't be an apikoros, and you also should not be begala panim b'torah. Begala panim b'torah, even a worse violation, says the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Teis on the base, where you are misinterpreting the Torah. Begala panim b'torah shelo kahalacha. So that's a very bad type of offense. If you're begala panim b'torah, begala panim b'torah shelo kahalacha, very, very bad. So the Gemara says, and that an example of these types of offenses is somebody says, Maya honey love abundant miolam. That what good are the rabbis? What good are the rabbis for us in the world? What good do the rabbis do for us in the world? So Rabba Papa said, Kigonda Ama honey Rabbanan. Somebody says, oh, those rabbis. My papa once forgot it. And he said, oh, honey Rabbanan, those rabbis. And he sat Patinus. He felt that he needed to sit Patinus because he was disrespectful in the way that he spoke to the rabbis. The Gemara speaks about different lashonas, what's respectful, what's disrespectful. The Rabbi Yirmiyah was once saying a drasha, and an old man said, Yasher, oh, that's really good. And Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. So he said, well, is that like Apikirusa, that he needs to like validate me, that otherwise if he didn't validate me, I wouldn't be any good? So Rabbi Zeira said, no. Hi, see you come if he says, Yashi, Yashi Koyak is a nice thing. That's he's like supporting you. He's strengthening your Torah. So you have to know what's considered to be respectful and what's considered to be disrespectful. Okay, so the Gemara on Dafet's Kuf Amid Beis says that we speak about Sfarim Chitzonim, that even the Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah said, even if you read Sfarim Chitzonim, the books from from outer limits that are not considered to be proper books in the Torah sphere, also could cause a person to lose their place in the world to come. So Yossi said, what about the Ben Sira? We learn the books, we learn the wisdom of Ben Sira. It's like Confucius, right? So Ben Sira is like somebody, it's a book that people have wise sayings, like our Will Rogers. So is that such a bad thing? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. If it's things that have a support in the Torah, so then it's okay. If it doesn't have a support in the Torah, so if it's mili mal yasa, the good things, so that we can learn. If it's the things that are just silliness, so those things that you should avoid. So he said, like, for example, you shouldn't have worry in your heart. So we said, that's a good thing, right? Don't worry, be happy. Shlomo HaMelech said too, daga b'levi shi'asikana. A person has worry in their heart, they should get rid of it. One opinion says the Gemara, yasikana midaito, either eradicate it from your heart, or yasikana lachayo, you need to go to a therapist to get out of your system, so you do that. Okay, the Gemara took kufa al from an aleph.
But doesn't it also give the examples of the things you're not supposed to do, not supposed to learn from there as well?
It gives examples, yeah. So it gives examples really of some of the things that are just silliness.
Yeah, so it's really amazing. The Gemara says, well, don't learn these things, and here's what they are.
It tells us the things that you can learn and the things that you shouldn't learn. You need a good guide. You need a good mentor to tell you what you can learn and what you can't learn. Okay? If you have any questions, you just come to me, and we'll work it out. So the Gemara and Daf Kuf Aleph, I'm an Aleph, says that if you read a pasuk, kori pasuk shoshia shima also so kamin zeri, you make it into like a sing song, or you sing a song, a pasuk in a base mishtos in a tavern, maybe roll the olam, because that's a bad thing, because the Torah is called gerisak, it girds itself with sackcloth, that it says, complain so kadosh baruch hu, but shalom asuni banecha kikino shem ganan magin ubalesim, they're making me into like just an instrument that the frivolous people in the taverns are just like singing as like a karaoke or something. So what then should people do? So he said, what should they do when they're eating and drinking? So Amal Afanim, he's the same. Rosh Lom, in Bali Mikra and Yaskub Taira, if they know how to read Psukim, they should read Psukim and Vim Ksuvim. They know Mishnah, they should learn Mishnah and Halakos and Halakos. And if they know Gemara, what they should do is they should learn the proper, they should speak in Torah about the things that relate to that time. Yeah, if it's Yaskub Ilkos Pesuk, because it says, as it says, Vidarab Ito Matok. That's why the minig is that you have an event, so you get up and you say a Dvar Torah about that event, about that season, about you say a Parsha Sashavua, Dvar Torah. Comes from this idea, v'davar b'ito matov. Gemara has stories about Rabbi Yezer got sick. This Tamidim were coming to visit him. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva was laughing. They were crying. Why was Rabbi Akiva laughing? Because he said that I was worried that you're not going to get your punishment in this world. And this way, I know that you'll be able to come in clean with a clean slate in the world to come. So he said, but Akiva, did I sin at all? He said, ki adam ain't tzadik baras asher yaseh tov lo yakatzah. Everybody sins. Okay, and he said that it's good to have some yisurin. All right. So the Gemara now on Kuf Aleph from Beis talks about Yerovam. Yerovam was considered to be one of the Rishayim, one of the people without a place in the world to come. And Shenibet, he saw something, but he didn't understand what it is that he was seeing. He saw that there was a fire coming out of a muscle, of coming out of his organ, and he thought that meant that he's supposed to be the king, but that wasn't the case. It was because Basheva came from him, and Basheva would eventually have Shlomo HaMelech. He didn't understand what was coming from him. Dav Kuf Beis Amud Aleph says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a chance to Yerovam. Said to Yerovam that Chazor Bach, you should go back and do tshuva. Anim Atav and Yishan Etayv Gan Eden. You and me and David HaMelech will all be able to join together and walk together in Gan Eden. So I'm alone. So Yerovam said, that's not good enough. Mi Barosh, who goes first? Ben Yishai Barosh. Well, when David HaMelech is going to come before you, and then I'm not interested. He goes first, I'm not interested. So that was the end of that effort. Okay. So the Gemara speaks about all of the Averis of Menashe. The king Menashe was a very, very bad king, right? Menashe was the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, but was a tzaddik, but Menashe was not a tzaddik. So Rabbi Yehuda at the bottom of Kuf Beis on Beis says, no, Menashe, he did tshuva, yesh lo chelek olam haba. Because he did tshuva, he's going to have a place in the world to come. He was a bad king for 23 years. He did tshuva for 22 years, and he was a good king for 33 years, right? So the Gemara sent Kuf Gimel Av, quotes Rabbi Yochanan, Kuf Menashe, yesh lo chelek olam haba, Rapa Yedan Shabbat. Say he's not going to have a place in Olam Abba, so then you're going to weaken the hands of the Bali Tshuva. This way, they'll feel it. There's no hope for them. The Gemara talks about the other Malachim who did not act properly, whether things were good for them, whether things were bad for them. With respect to Achaz, he had a hard time, and he was a Rasha. And Amatziah had an easy time, and he was a Rasha. So Abba Papa says, "Haynu d'amiyinchi baki b'lei d'marad lo yada chaychim al lo yada." That you can cry for somebody who doesn't understand. You can laugh for somebody who doesn't. He still doesn't understand that whether they had a good or they had a bad, they didn't understand what they were supposed to do in serving a Kaddish Baruch. halacha. The Gemara on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis talks about how Avshalom doesn't have a place in the world to come. The averus that Avshalom did in Achaz and Achaz, you know, all Mach Yisrael that it says V'yasav Abinei Hashem V'chayim Lo Nidonin, they don't live and they don't get judged. Different judgments applying to different kings, different averus that they committed. Amon was Baal Imo, things of that variety. The Gemara at the end says Gedola Gimash Chikika Shtei Meshmachos V'Yisrael. If you don't providing food and drink, can be Merachik, it can be Mekarik. That because Ammon and Moab didn't give us food and drink, that's why they're excluded from being able to convert and then marry into the nation. And also the Gimas Mama is can be Mekari v'Sarachokim from Yisrael, that he said you should call Moshe Rabbeinu and give him food to eat and drink. And as a result, Yisrael and his descendants were among those who were able to sit in Lishkas Agazis and be among the judges and the Talmid Chachamim of the Jewish people. Yeah. The Gemara at Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph says that there's a principle that Abba, that Bro Mizaki Abba, that somebody has a righteous son, the righteous son can rehabilitate the father, but Abba Lo Mizaki Bro. But if a father is righteous, that doesn't rehabilitate the son. So that's why Abba couldn't save Yishmael, and Yitzchak couldn't save Esav, but Chizkiyahu could save his father, Achaz, because of the righteousness of Chizkiyahu, could save him in terms of Olam Haba. The Gemara on the bottom of Kut Dalet Amud Beis says all the people that are mentioned in our Mishnah at the beginning of Perek HaChelek, I'm not having a place in Olam Haba, so the Dorshei V'Shumo saw you. That was Gnatshei Knesset Zagdoyla who counted those people. But the Dorshei V'Shumo said, Kulan Barin Le'Olam Haba, everybody has a place in Olam Haba. So we see the Dorshei V'Shumo, those who Darshim Psukim, they're called the Dorshei V'Shumo. They figured out a way of dashing the Psukim in such a way that everybody would have a place in Olam Haba. Because the Tshuva is very, very powerful. Tshuva is very, very powerful. Then we have a discussion in Daf Kuf Hey about Bilam and Bilam ben Beor. One opinion says that Beor was was actually Lavan, who Lavan Adomi, according to one opinion. Then we have a Kuf Hey Amud Beis that Mibichaso, Rabbi Yochanan says Mibichaso Shalos Avasha Tolomei Ma'ayah Blibo. From the Bakos that he gave, we understand all the klolos that he wanted to give. He says Matovo Alecha Yaakov. He intended that they shouldn't have Batei Knesses or Batei Midrashas, so he ended up saying the opposite, Matovo Olecha Yaakov. He intended that they shouldn't have the Shechina reside in these places, so that's causing the same Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. So all of these things, we know what was really in his mind by virtue of what he ended up actually saying. The Gemara on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph says that talks about Doeg Edomi is recorded as somebody who didn't have a place in the Olam Haba, even though he was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. But he said, "Risi alai picha." So, what does that teach us about Doeg? This is a pasuk in Tehillim. It teaches us on Rabbi Yami and Tavasu Shel Doeg and the Misaf of Lachutz. So, the Torah of Doeg was only from his lips and to the outside. It wasn't on the inside. This is why the Gemara, this leads to a discussion in the Gemara. But Kadosh Baruch Hu liba boy, Rachmana liba boy. In the generation of Yehuda, they didn't learn nearly as much as with respect to other generations like Rabba's generation, but nonetheless, even though they didn't learn nearly as much, as soon as he took off his shoes, when it wasn't raining, the rain would immediately fall because they had such a strong connection from the heart with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So we see from here the Rachmana Liba Boy. Rachmana Liba Boy.
What does that mean? Translate.
It means that Rachmana Liba Boy means that Kaddish Baruch Hu wants our hearts. Wants our hearts. Or you've got to have his heart. Lots and lots and lots of heart. That's the most important connection to have with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Obviously, try to do your best in Torah Mitzvah, so you got to have hearts. You got to have hearts. So the Gemara in Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph says that David HaMelech tried to do tshuva for the whole Maaseh of Bathsheba. He felt terrible about it, and people embarrassed about it until his entire life, that he had no blood left in his blood had been drained from him from all the embarrassment that he suffered because of that. Then people would come that he would be in the base medrash, and they would say to him, David, Abal Eishes Ish Misasu Bema. When they'd be learning about Parah Misas Besen, they would say, hey, if you have adultery, so what's the Misa that you get? So Amar to them, so he said, I said to them, Abal Eishes Ish Misasu Bechenek. I told them that the Misa is Bechenek, but the person has a place in the world to come. But if you embarrass a person in public, then you don't have a place in the world to come. And he kept on asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness, finally, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. He said, please forgive me. So he says, Mokolok. I forgive you. She said, I want an oath that you forgave me. He said, in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, your son, I'll give you an oath. He built the base of Mikdash, and we wanted to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the gates wouldn't open up until the Shlomo HaMelech said, Zoko l'chasti David Abdechem yana nene. When he mentioned David HaMelech, the gates opened up, and everybody saw that the Kodesh Baruch had been forgiven. Gehazi, who was an attendant to Elisha, is also mentioned as one of the people. What did he do? That he turned away. Some say that there are different offenses that they say that he committed. One say, "Rabbanan dachem ikame." He turned away people from learning from Elisha. That's a very bad offense. But the Gemara concludes that Elisha was too harsh with him. Tanu rabbanan lom tei shmol dachem yamim mekarevis. That you should give a proper chastisement, but nonetheless never close the door to repentance. Lo ke Elisha shadachol gechazi b'shtei yadayim. Not like Elisha who turned away gechazi with both of his hands. You have to try to draw people close that they always give the opportunity to repent. Along those lines, I'm going to show him in a lesson. Yetzer tinok misha tei smol dochev yamim mikareves. When it comes to yetzer hara or a tinok or a woman, so you are dochev with your small, but you are mikarev with your right hand. Okay, so the Gemara the Mishnah talks about the Dor HaMabul doesn't have a place in the world to come. The Dor HaPlaga, then there's a discussion on Daf Kuf Ches about some of what went on in the Dor HaMabul. So HaMabul, all of the Minim, all of the different creatures were having relations with other species, but they all went back afterwards to be with their own species, to not interbreed anymore, with the exception of the Tushlami. The Tushlami apparently is some sort of a bird that's Mizdavig in Makol. It has relations with everybody. I don't know who this Tushlami is, but that's what it says, the Tushlami. So then we get to Daf Kuftes. Let's go on to Kuftes. So Kuftes talks about how the Anshei Sdom don't have a place in the world to come. And they had very, very harsh rules. It says that they had Dayanim, who were essentially Rishayim. Abba Dayanim, Ayyub Sdom. The problem is that their whole system of law was corrupt. They had Shakur, Shakurai, Zaifi, Matzli, Dina. The names of the Dayanim indicate people who caused the din to be perverted or to be justice delayed or liars. That was the names of the Dayanim. They had rules such as that if a person had one ox, so then they had to watch everybody's oxen. For one day, if they didn't have any oxen, they figured they'd be off the hook, they're not getting any benefit. No, then they have to watch everybody's oxen for 2 days. The Gemara tells some stories about how Eliezer Eved Avram outsmarted the people of Sdom. If one person whacked a second person, so the person who got whacked would have to pay that they had the benefit that they had bloodletting that was performed. So somebody whacked Eliezer and said, "Okay, Eliezer, you're going to have to pay. He's going to have to pay up." So Eliezer whacked the judges. So he said to the judges, "Okay, you owe me, so you could just pay the other guy, and this way I'll be off the hook." The Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud says that the Adas, we're talking here about the Adas Korach. So this Omen Palace was saved by his wife, right? Because she said, either way, you're not going to get anywhere. Imar Rabba on Talmida, if Korach's in charge, you're just going to be an underling. If Moshe Rabbeinu's in charge, you're an underling. Imar Rabba at Talmida. And if Korach's in charge, you're also just going to be an underling. She gave him sound advice. It says, V'yesh Rishma Moshe, my Paul upon him, when he heard of all of the machinations against him, he had to fall on the ground in humiliation. What was humiliation? Mashmua Shama, Mashmua Menachmenei, Mashmua Menachmenei, everybody was suspecting him that he was with their wives. But nonetheless, he reached out to Dustin Mariam, despite the terrible rumor mongering against him. We see from here that you should not maintain a machlokas with anybody. You should try to resolve disputes, no matter how nasty they are and how badly the other people are behaving.
You mean that his wife, because his wife tried to help him even though there were rumors against him?
No, his wife wasn't involved. Omen Pel's wife helped Omen Pel's. Moshe Rabbeinu was being suspected by people of the Adas Korach of having relationships with their wives. Okay. But nonetheless, despite the fact that Dustin Varim were generating such rumors, he still tried to make shalom with them. Okay. So the Gemara and Daf Kuf, Amen Beis talks about the Eseres HaShotim going to come back and do different deos in the Mishnah, whether the they're not going to return, and whether they will return. The Gemara at the end asks, when does a katan earn a place in Olam Haba? So one opinion is Mishah Shenola, when he's born. Another opinion says Mishah Shesipa, when he starts speaking. Another opinion says Mishah Shenizra, from when he's conceived in the womb. And another opinion, interestingly, says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, Mishah Shiyama Amen. When he says Amen, that's why it's so important to teach a child to say Amen. Piskei She'arim, you have a great Tzadik, Shomei Amunim, that Atikei Shomei Amunim, Ela She'omer Amen. So we say how important it is to say Amen, stands for Kel Melech Neman. I was in Kal Chasidim davening this morning, and towards the end of the davening, I was listening to the Kaddishim, and every single time they got up to the Amen, all the children screamed. You were there, Josh. All was going, they were so beautiful. Was that so beautiful, listening to the children, the way they said Amen? It was so beautiful. I was thinking about this Gemara. Oh, so beautiful. Okay, and Dapa Kufa Yud Aleph. So we have discussion about the Anshi Yoni Dachas. Anshi Yoni Dachas is an entire city, a majority of the city, people commit Avodah Zarah. So you have one person who commits Avodah Zarah, he gets Skila, but the money, his possessions, remain around. But if you have the majority of a city, so this, the punishment is chenik. However, the possessions, mamonim avod, all of the possessions get burned. There's a machlokis in the Gemara here between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about whether you can have one city in the area of Israel, of Eretz Yisrael, that could go to two different shvatim. It's like on a border. So we say like one part of the city goes to this shevet, another part of another shevet. So a possible raya for the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who says chokin irakas l'shnei shvatim. Maor Mishnah says that a city only becomes in the Eretz Yisrael when the Madichim are from that city, the people who entice the city are from the city, right? And in addition to that, where the they're from the same Shevet. So it sounds like that you have people living in a city who are not from the same Shevet. So maybe the Shevet is made up, or maybe the city is made up of people from multiple Shvatim. But Reish Lakish has an answer to that. Nah, it could be that it came to them, it's like from a daughter who was Yoresh's Nakala, so it's not Mukhlach, that was the way that the city would be originally divided. Okay, the Mara on Daf Kuf Yud Beis asks, what about the Shetos of the Nashim Sidkanios, that all the possessions of the Rishayim get destroyed, whether they're within the city or whether they're outside of the city? We moved outside of the city. But with respect to the tzaddikim in the city, if they have possessions outside of the city, they don't get destroyed. If they're inside of the city, they do get destroyed. But if it's the clothes they're wearing, they don't get destroyed. So do we say a sheito is considered like a clothes that they're wearing, or it's not considered to be like clothes that they're wearing? So the Gemara leaves that as a question, leaves it as a take. Okay, so an interesting
people,
question.
The righteous people of the city get destroyed as well.
They don't get destroyed, but their possessions. Only the pity, I'm sorry. Only the pity, who, the people who worship the Avodah Zarah get chenek. The people who didn't worship the Avodah Zarah don't get chenek. I'm saying that the majority of the people in the city, if they worship the Avodah Zarah, it becomes an ir nidachas, and therefore their punishment is chenek. But the tzaddikim don't get put to death, but their possessions end up getting burned if they're in the city itself, because that's what they get for living in such a city, right? Okay, so the Gemara in Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says that according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Kol Ir Sheish Bo Afilu Mezuzah Achas Inen Ases Yoni Dachas. That according to his opinion, we would say Yoni Dachas, as we mentioned earlier, is one of these things which Lo Hayev Lo Ase Lios, it never really happens, because if there's even one mezuzah in the entire city, so then it doesn't become an Yoni Dachas. So that's a saving grace. Then we have here about, there are three different keys that are not given to any agent. It's in the hands of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In Shalchaya, the key of children are going to be born. In Shalgashamim, of rain and sustenance. In Shalchias Amesim, revival of the dead. Eliyahu Hanavi took the key of rain for a period of time in the days of Acha. He felt that because of the unworthiness of the kingdom, there shouldn't be any rain. And eventually he had to give it back. So, Darish Rabbi Yossi B'Tzipuri, Abi Eliyahu, he says that my good friend, Eliyahu Navi, Captain Hava, he's temperamental. So Eliyahu Navi used to learn with him on a regular basis. They would speak to each other, would speak to Rabbi Yossi. So, Hava Ragal, Mesi Gabe, Ixeminek, Lassiyam, every 3 days he didn't come. Lassi didn't come, so he got Kiyasa. So when he finally shut up, Rabbi Yossi, I'm Malay, I'm Milo Asamar. Why didn't you come? So I'm like, Captain Kersley, you call me temperamental. So I'm like, I had to come out to call a cup in Mar. Well, it's obvious you didn't come for the last 3 days. Obviously, you are temperamental after all. So this was, you know, an allusion, I guess, to his having taken the rain, the key for the rain. But what we see from here is the close relationships that the Tanaim had with Eliyahu Hanavi. We should all be zoche to have such close relationships in learning and Torah with Eliyahu Hanavi and all of the Gedolei Olam. Okay, so be Edox, you'll get more. All right. Hadar Lach Maseches Sanhedrin.
Just out of
curiosity.